The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Lift your hands, everyone. Heavenly Father, we are asking for our brothers and sisters, wherever they are, no matter how far they've strayed. Those in Babylon, let them hear your voice. May hunters and fishermen be sent to them to draw them in.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you draw them in.
Amen.
Father, we appeal that you find soldiers who have served in the camp of Saul. Kareku katihata sukele bakubri patasa. Greatly minimized due to where they are, due to the ones who have commanded them, their teachers, their preachers, their apostles and prophets, their pastors. Father, we ask that they be broken free from that limitation.
Amen.
May they all find expression.
Amen.
Oh, may your spirit come upon them, even in their public meetings. In churches that believe in cessation, bring them out, Lord.
Amen.
Set them free because you can.
Amen.
Great King, you can.
Amen.
Set them free.
Amen.
Fill them with your spirit. If they are the vessels of the Lord, if they are yours, justified by the blood, exert your right over your property.
Amen.
Fill them up. Bring them out of the temples of the gods of Babylon. Fill them up in their rooms, in their classrooms on the way. Take back your captive people. With great authority, shatter their bonds. Lord, deliver them with power of things they are unaware of. Let them have the understanding after they are made free. Let them comprehend that there is a living God upon whom they have been calling. Give them an audacity that very few have seen, and cause them to burn like torches in the places they emerge from. May they turn the hearts of the people in their spaces to you, O Lord God. Anoint them with power. Anoint them this hour.
Amen.
This is our prayer today. Let them see the King.
Amen.
Oh, may they see the King.
Amen.
And may they fear Him. Amen. Only Him. May they lose all esteem for the things that are of men. May they know you personally. May we know you personally.
Amen.
In this house, take away second-hand knowledge.
Amen.
May these ones make an acquaintance with you fully.
Amen.
deeper, stronger, further. Satisfy us with your love.
Amen.
Give us grace and your authority. Grace and your authority. Grace and your authority. Father, to set people free. Wherever we may be, help us set them free. Whoever we may see, help them, Lord God, to be what you desire when they were sire. That the enemy's agents be fired. Let them lose their place. Let them lose their place. Wherever they have occupied, let them lose their place. Wherever these people were tied, fill them with your grace. Help them find the face. The face of Jesus. May we find your face. Directed by your ways. Get up, oh, shit, alligators. Take our hands. As we, Lord God, take their hands. Guide our feet. As you, Lord God, make us very fleet, very fast. Bring us to your feet. Fill them, O Lord, with your spirit. There's need for an army. An army in the last days that will no more compromise, that will stand in its place, every day gazing upon your face, then going to the battle, we will gaze on your face. Then we will run to the battle. We will go to your face. Then we will run to the battle. Giri da da da. We were all born for battle. If you can receive it. You were all born for battle. Don't be left behind. Jump in the saddle. It's time to take a great ride. Your horses are waiting. What are you doing? The horses are waiting. Callings, ministries, and giftings. Your horses are waiting. It's time to go and fight. The enemy is in sight. It is not time to take flight. It's a day of war. It is a day of war. It is a day of war. Weapons of love in our right hand. And the word fused to us. It is time to fight. not time to lie down. It is time to smile. It is simply not time to frown. Take all of your gown. Put on the armor of the Most High. It is time for war. 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 Listening to the lies from the enemy. You should be much more wise, so you can see. Jesus paid the price that you can all be free. It is time for war. Time to be afraid. It is time for war. To do what you have read. It is time for war. To eat much more bread. It is time for war. To stand in the Father's stead. It is time for war. It is time for war. Get ready for war. Because it is time for war. Everyone put on your armor. Because it is time for war. Sharpen all your swords. Because it is time for war. Listen all to your Lord. He says it's time for war. Buckle up your sword. It is time for war. Do all that you are told. Stay within the fold. Because it is time for war. It is time to soar. It is time for war. Eagle wings. Attached. Attachments. New attachments. New prophets. Keribapali. Shoulder blade reconstructions. New wings. New wings for eagles. Prophetic companies. You will do reconnaissance above our enemies. You will bring prophecies from all that you see. Father, I ask for eagle wings. For a new prophetic company that will be faithful, not just in prophecy, in their daily lives. Bigger wings. Father, send new wings to lift us above the earthly and mundane way of seeing things, to see from the perspective of the King of Kings. New wings, Lord, new wings, new wings, new wings.
Wings of the eagles. Wings to fly in the sky. Right where you are. Kerebo Sada. Oh, new wings. Kerebaraba Sito Lagada. Father, give new wings. Oh, give new wings. Kerebaraba Sita. Father, Lord, give new wings. Cause it is time for Father, we ask for new hoofs for the horses. You will run everywhere. You will say what he says. You will lose all your fear. Every ear will hear. As you go with the message from the one greater than any sage, you'll tell them it is time for war. It is time for war. They will come to you when you say it's time for war. Authority belongs to the Lord. All over the earth, send us signs, gifts, and miracles. Everything we need. So your people we can feed. Teach them how to read. That it is time for war. Interpret the signs. It is time for war. Take away their blinds. It is time for war. Open up their eyes. It is time for war. Strip away every single disguise. It is time for war. Take away the lies. It is time for war. Show everybody the prize. It is time for war. It's time for war. It is time for war. It is time for war. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to you, Lord. Not just some. Override on our behalf. Show us favor. Even to half of your kingdom is in your heart. So we are asking. Override us. Perform your will. For where your word is, there is power. So speak your word. Speak it like a sword. Lord God, speak the word. Tell us what we're here for. Show us where to ford, to cross the river to the other side. Let us see the plans, the blueprints that are bona fide. In this time for war. In this time for war, let us be ready for war. Make your people prepared for war. Show us how to pray. Teach us what to say. today and every day. By your blood you paid to know when it's time for war. In the time of war, let the trumpets be blown. It is time to reap seed that was sown. It is time for war. Teach us how to sow. Hear our prayers. Hear our prayers, good Father. Tell us what, tell us how, tell us when. Every decoy, every distraction, every false thing, may we not be deceived for a second to give our attention to it. May we see specifically. Turn the tide, Lord, in the favor of your people. Turn the tide. Turn the tide. Lord, turn the tide. Make us a mighty wave. Do it in your wisdom, do it by your hand. Shoulder to shoulder, we'll run the race. Shoulder to shoulder, we'll run the race. Shoulder to shoulder, we'll run the race. In this time for war. Shoulder to shoulder, we'll run the race until we see his face. In this time of war, we won't break ranks, we will give thanks, we'll stay within our banks, we won't be lank. Hefty and robust, together, Lord, we will bust the enemy's defenses when they come like a mighty gust. 'Cause it is time for war. Shoulder to shoulder. It's time for war. In this time. In our midst there will be Achan or Judas, 'cause shoulder to shoulder we'll run our race. I won't have to be afraid, 'cause shoulder to shoulder we'll run this race. In this time for war, shoulder to shoulder we'll run this race. Shoulder to shoulder we'll run the ranks. Army of Gideon.
Thank you, Lord God. One more time, everyone, lift your hands before the Lord. Good Father, we are grateful that we can come in the name of Jesus. Help us go get ready. Thank you, merciful King. Help us go get ready. Help us dress up. As we put on our armor, may no one strip us. May we not strip anyone of the armor they are putting on as they are getting ready for the battles of the King. May there be no distractions. May we be found worthy to be on your short list. May we understand that you do not need to save with many, that you can save with few. Because you are the great God and there's nothing impossible with you. The 300 men of Gideon began the battle. Others joined in later on. We would like to be relevant in this battle as you choose. Only as relevant as you desire. Father, every one of us who overcomes fear, who chooses to be vigilant, who chooses to stand and not turn back. Equip us with our pitchers, with our swords, with our lights and fires. Embrace us with interpretation, revelation. Ebali Company. Bring us to fighting standards. Thank you, Lord. Help the babies. Help them feed and grow. Help the little children. Let them see what they are. And help the men of war. Deliver them from fears. Thank you. Thank you. Just stand to your feet if you're kneeling anything. Just wave those hands to the Lord our God. Give Him glory now. Wave those hands to the mighty God. Give Him glory now. Give Him the honor. Give Him all the praise. For His mighty power, we give praise to You, Ancient of Days. You are great, and You're never late. Thank You, Lord, for all You do. By Your hand You've seen us through. Bring us, Lord, to be what You do. In the earth we'll dwell. We won't fail. By Your hand You guide. You make it a ride. In the dark and in the light, we will know what the Father knows. By Your Spirit, Your people will grow. into a temple built for habitation by your Spirit, level by level, level by level. Father, we love your presence. We are delighted in it, and we enjoy your counsel and your mind. But this is our major request, that this reality will remain with us hereafter. In the dust and dirt of the world we live. May the stoppages in our discernment be flushed. May your word take root. Let it not only grow when it's raining. When it's not raining, let's keep growing. Outside of church spaces. In every circumstance of life. Thank you. We are who we are. We are Lord by your power. We are who we are. You've made sweet Lord the sound. We are who we are. You are our star. We are who we are. When we're near or when we're far, who you say we are, speak to us, sir. 'Cause we are who you are. We share your Spirit. We are who you are. We'll see that your feet. We are who we are. I choose to be who you say I am. If you want that, say it with me, Father. May I only be who you say I am.
Tell me who I am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
1 minute, pay attention. Maybe you need to pray it again because you didn't really expect. Say, Father.
Father.
Tell me who I am.
Tell me who I am.
And tell me your plan.
And tell me your plan.
For who I am.
For who I am.
Father, may the books be open. The blueprints of heaven. Everyone whose name has been written in Zion. This is our request. May the unfolding of your word to us bring us the light we need. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. You may have your seats. One thing you can be assured of is that the Lord is very kind. He desires that which is good for his people. I know many people had lots of revelations, personal and corporate, Maybe I'll give you a minute or two to write, jot down things, so you don't lose it all, but can jot down the highlights and the points. I trust that the Holy Spirit will give us what to say. And guide us in what to do. Years ago, we had many of such meetings. And by that, I mean meetings like this. We still do, but we had a lot. And I know there are many people that would like us to have meetings like this all the time. But you must be aware that it's not a sign of maturity to always be eating cake. A birthday is not an event you want daily. One of the clearest signs of immaturity is to want to have a birthday every day. You couldn't have a more obvious sign of a child. Some might be wondering, what's a birthday about war? But I mean periods of basking in the enjoyable presence of God. And there were seasons 7 years ago, 6 years, 5 years ago, when we would have this go on and on and on. And the Holy Spirit would draw people. Remember, I tell you in the first, if I come from 2010, but if I come from 2016, in the first 5 years or so, we had no signboard, nothing. Why it's interesting is because there was a metal signpost outside of a form. It was plain. It was just metal. All we needed to do was print flex and paste on it. It was there, right outside the compound. But we didn't. I mean, it would have cost ₦1,000 to put the flex on the existing signboard. The plane, as the person who had owned the compound from 20 years before, 30, had left a signpost outside. So it was very deliberate. But the people came. We were in the presence of the king. There was no attempt to advertise. And the Lord would draw people. And just in case you're thinking like a typical church person, when I say the people came, I don't mean they came in massive numbers. No. Because that was not our interest ever. What mattered was that we were attracting people who would want to fight the battles of the King, Jesus. And it's not everyone that is a soldier. Most people are civilians. The ordinary person is just a civilian. He enjoys the benefits of citizenry. He wants to partake in what his country has, his nation. But he doesn't want to die for it. He doesn't want to be killed for his country. He wants to enjoy what his country has to offer, but he doesn't want to lose his life in the process. He doesn't want to fight for the well-being of his countrymen, really. Because that's what a soldier is. One who is willing to give up his own comfort, endure discomfort for the comfort of the rest of his countrymen. It's a difficult choice. It's selflessness. It's sacrificial.
Now, I will acknowledge that most of the soldiers on earth are in the army because of money. Take note of the things I'm about to say. Many soldiers are in the army for lack of what else to do and the financial provision available from the army, the potential for gain in the nations of the earth, around the world. In Nigeria, very many of the people in the army may not be educated. Yes? Because they looked around, what choice did I have? Not long ago, someone murdered someone else in the north and threw his body into the soakaway pit. They found it when they smelled something terrible, man-eating. They found the body of the missing gentleman. His nephew or so, who had grown up with him, whom he had chased out of the house after he carried out purportedly some criminal act again, had come back with his friend and tried to kidnap this, his uncle, who he said, they confessed that he resisted. So they stabbed him in the heart. Thrice. Before the fellow left the house, he had asked the uncle to endorse him to join the army. And he had refused and said, not with your lifestyle. So many people join the army not because they are lovers of the nation, but because they tried other things and did not succeed. But another reason people joined the army, I was on a trip from just passing through Kaduna on my way back in about January or February. And my kind chauffeur, the person that took me from Abuja and back, drove me, was telling me about, as we passed a certain place, say, oh, this is the village of this general in the army. Almost everybody from that place is in the army. And that gives you another major reason why people join the army. A major reason people join the army is because their older relatives were in the army. Yes, no. Those that have been in the army tend to serve as a connection to their family members joining the army. And I want you to especially pay attention to this. There are many people that would be in the army, but that option has never been presented to them. It doesn't occur to them it's possible. Some that try hear from a friend. They get to know someone and they say, oh, could I also? But there are many who never hear that that option is open to them. They are completely unaware that that's something they could consider. And even if they considered it, their families, fathers and mothers, would threaten them with disowning if they attempted to join the army. Who has heard of this kind of thing before? So you have mothers say things like, so you want to kill me. This child, this is what you came to do. Now you're the one that wants to join the army, but they say you want to kill them. Meanwhile, if you join the army, what you contribute to doing is protecting them and keeping them safe. But they are so engrossed with their hopes and plans for you staying alive that they will do everything, including taking you to see a psychiatrist, making you a prayer point in the women's group and before a number of pastors. And they are willing to say that my child, I do not know what's wrong. The child just started ritual problems. And I'm using the physical analogy of armies to arrive at a point that is very true. And that is that the most Christians, most people in the body of Christ do not ever think of joining the army of God because, one, they don't even know about that possibility. What army? How do you join the army? I'm a child of God. I'm in the army of the Lord. And I'd like to tell you that being a child of God is not equal to being a soldier for the Lord. Being a child of God makes you a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that's all it does. The nation known as the holy nation, the nation of Israel, the spiritual Israel, what is called the Israel of God. You become part of this nation by reason of being born again, by birth. You were born again. There are two births. There's the birth that occurred. And we spoke about this yesterday, yes? Was it yesterday or Friday? Yesterday, we talked about the first stage. There's no one listening to me now that has not been born. Give me John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Let me read it how this translation puts it. Flesh is born of flesh. So if you have flesh, when he gives birth to something, what he gives birth to is called flesh. But spirit is born of the spirit. So spirit produces spirit and flesh produces flesh. Therefore, when the Lord comes to you, he was explaining to Nicodemus, who came to him in verse 1. And he told him in verse 3, assuredly, assuredly, believe me absolutely. Except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. The concept of understanding what the kingdom is, a concept I've explained many times, because I don't know what percentage of Christians know what the kingdom of God is. The most popular topic in a very broad sense of the word. But they don't know what it is. And when you don't know what something is, how can you pursue it? No one pursues the invisible. You can only run after what you see. You cannot run after the kingdom of God except you see it. You cannot see it except you are born again. Let me explain. You must even be born again to see the possibility of a kingdom that can be acquired. But we focus on saying, once you're born again, you are in. No, you're not in. Once you're born again, you begin to see. Have you read before that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violence take it by force? Take what? If you had it, why are you taking it? Why does Jesus say, seek ye first? Completed. The kingdom of God, if you have it, why are you seeking it? Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already seen? By its very nature, the kingdom of God is something ahead of us that we reach for. This one thing I do, Philippians 3, forgetting the things which are past, I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. What is that? The kingdom, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Why do you want to be resurrected? For something. And the koinonia, sharing in his suffering, the fellowship of his suffering, that I might be conformed even to his death. There is something that all the apostles and the disciples of the early days understood that has been lost. So people are reaching for what was not the prize. This was the prize. And you're reaching for this. This looks bigger, shinier, more promising. But the one who has this signs the blank checks. You don't know. Because you don't know. You just looked, okay. And so along the line, it got muddled up. What exactly are we aspiring for? Oh, for the microphone. Whoever gets it can command people. You might command them briefly. But this will control the weightiest decisions. This is the prize, not this. So all over the earth, all over the body of Christ, you have people pursuing what God never intended for them to pursue. And they pursue with all their heart, all their soul. Unfortunately, deceived teachers of the gospel have raised this and announced loudly that this is the price. This is what you should reach for. And if you refuse to be diligent, when did I first study the kingdom of God? In the 1990s. I think it was probably my first comprehensive study. First. I think it was the first thing I ever wrote when I first had a book. 1999. I took a notebook and said, God, teach me. When I began my Bible school, that's my school with God. What has brought me to where I am today? The first thing that was put before my heart and my mind, I recall, amongst the very first, was the kingdom of God. I found a concordance that God had given my parents many years before to keep for me. Now I was of age. And that concordance, which had sat down there, its purpose was found. Strong's exhaustive concordance, big and old. And I picked it up and went to kingdom. Learned how to use a concordance. We have phones now. Everything has changed. And I began to look the kingdom. Kingdom. Wherever the word kingdom occurred. And I began to stitch the bits of. And my main word, like, but this is not. Because whenever church, I hear kingdom said, they say it's heaven. A place you dare and go to. Now, I doubt I'll have the chance to teach you about the kingdom the way you want today. So, I'll suggest that you study it yourself. Just type in the word kingdom. Begin from Matthew. Look up every place it occurs. Write out that scripture. Then, slowly, day by day, go to the passage. Read above and below. Get the context. Begin to put together. I'll give you keys. I've given many keys in the past. But if you can't see, nobody reaches for what they can't see. You can feel about in the dark. And sometimes you can't find. Who has ever felt about in the dark, couldn't still find, till they brought light and you're like, ah, you're here. You know that feeling? There's nothing as terrible as blindness. For you able to be able to commence the process of seeing the kingdom, first you must be born again. So the person that is not born again and is trying to see, trying to understand what's happening, how can you understand? You're not born again. Eyes are given at birth or rebirth. New birth. The second level of birth is the birth of the spirit. First level was your father and mother. Here you are. Flesh. Body. Welcome to the earth. To the earth. But there's the one who came from above. So if you must be welcome to the heavens, you must be born of the word of God. 1 Peter 1. You must be born this way. You can't be born one way. Verse 23 and 24. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. So perishable is flesh. So the seed that came from your father, the spora, root word from which you have spermatozoa. Spores. Anyone here? What field is that? Biology. You know what a spore is? You know how fungus grow? Fungi. Spores. Seeds. Tiny. Seeds. The root word. Perishable seed is a seed that came from a man into the womb of a woman and fertilized an egg. That is perishable seed. To be born again is not of perishable seed. How is it perishable? You live, you grow, you die, you perish. But of imperishable, and it tells you what the imperishable seed is. Through the living and enduring word of God, the word of God is living and powerful. It doesn't die. So let me explain. Even if you throw away the word of God, it still lives. Someone else can pick it up. But the word of God cannot die. God lives and abides forever. You cannot render useless his seed. The seed of men can perish. Whether it fertilizes an egg or not, it perishes. It's not an ever-living thing. It doesn't stay around waiting forever. It rots. God's word, if it's in the Bible, if you teach it, yesterday I stumbled across, yesterday or the day before yesterday, I stumbled across a message by Derek Prince. And I looked at the number of views. And it's Derek Prince's, a channel. I think it's 500 and something, and it's something or 800 and something thousand views. Now, Derek Prince has been dead since 2003. That's 20 years ago. About September 2003, he died. About the same time Kenneth Hagin died. They just died, two or three of them are about the same time. If he was gone since then, how does he have a channel? I don't think YouTube existed. With hundreds of thousands of views. Because he had the word of God. And I thought of it yesterday. I commented on it to the people that I met. I said, look at the beauty of serving the Lord faithfully. When you see a book by John Bunyan, you know Pilgrim's Progress, right? Now, he wrote other books, many things. John Bunyan wrote a lot. A thinker. You know what a tinker is? The guy that fixes your pot. All those metal, aluminium things, those kinds of things. That's what John Bunyan was. You're looking for his Bible school? He went to the same one I attended. These were super outstanding teachers. So he went to the school of the Holy Spirit. In what time? In what year? If you see his writings, that was a story, an allegory. I once came across some visions he had of heaven and hell. I couldn't believe it. John Bunyan. Serious visions like this. Powerful encounters. But you know, in that time, people wouldn't really talk much about it. I was shocked. Like, you had visions. An angel appeared, stood there, and took him on journeys. Those who will speak about the other things he wrote, of course, oh yes, this is safe. Some people only find safe that which is old, doesn't feel like a threat, and that which is their minds can wrap around. So they throw away all the parts that. There are some very popular books. Who has read The Christian Secret to a Happy Life? Anna Whitehall Smith. Oh, at the time, it was a very popular book. A few hundred years ago. It was very popular. So popular that it was considered, you know, all these books that they say, like The Imitation of Christ or The Pilgrim's Progress. They say, apart from the Bible, this may be one of the most popular. The Christian Secret of a Happy Life was one such a book. There's a chapter there where she expresses too much belief in God's love. They remove it. So when they publish it, it's a missing chapter. You won't know, except you know. They just removed it. Like, yeah, we love how you love God. We love what you teach. It sounds like what we teach in a union, judgment, resurrection. They just removed the whole chapter. The average person that knows it, I'm not surprised most of you don't, who said, no, I didn't read it. Oh, it's there. They removed it. The publisher, they just said, no, leave out this chapter. So the reason for that woman's real happiness is not in the book. They removed it. It's not like secret. I'm not fabricating some story like, how do you know? It's very obvious. So sometimes, most Christians, Christian leaders, let me say leaders, because they are the ones that decide these things. They accept you knowing God, loving God, wanting God or preaching about God, but don't just say things that we are not comfortable with them. I don't agree. In other words, I can only agree with what, I can only put out what I agree with. Anything I don't agree with them, you'll have to hide that. You know, that makes you the authority, right? You do know that whoever does things like that, it makes you the authority over that information. So if God actually said it and you think it should be removed, that means you are bigger than God. The living and enduring word of God never stops being powerful. So you stumble across a John Bunyan book 300 years after his death. It still punches you in the gut. It still has the power of the truth. Set aside any refined British English. Set aside any of that. It carries the same power and light. Come across any, if it is the truth. So every so often, except that the books on money push these ones out of line of sight. But I pray the Lord, and we have prayed it for years, that God will restore truth to the church. And will deliver every maggot eating the brains of God's people. Don't go to a Christian bookshop and be buying books on money and how to be rich. In fact, stop reading those things. I've told you. You will regret it. If you're reading a book to learn a skill, a particular skill, know how to do this, a specific thing, it's okay. If you are reading books to create within you a wealth-making mindset, you are blind. You will harm your soul. The existing harm already there. We are trying to get it healed. Don't create new. The principles of wealth do not exist. This is where you faint. I'll give you 30 seconds. I'll revive you. Yeah, go ahead. Faint on your neighbor. Neighbor, you can slap them back. Both the rich and the poor, the Lord is the maker of them all. You didn't understand. The Lord makes people rich and the Lord makes poor. The Lord. So when you say you're a principal, look at me, because you want evidence, right? You don't completely agree. Evidence, quick, raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I will not give you the evidence. You go home as you came. Hoping to prove, you will not prove me wrong. Case study number one, his name is Job. Was he rich? Was he poor? Which principle did he forget or lose that made him poor? Talk to me. Huh? Which principle did Job lose? Which principle did he not follow that resulted in Job's poverty? Does everyone agree God made him poor?
Yes, sir.
Say God.
God.
God is the principle of wealth. God is. If the race is not for the swift and the battle is not for the strong and wealth does not necessarily come to the wise. Have you read that before?
Yes, sir.
Give me Ecclesiastes. How can you be wise and positioned? Chapter 9, verse 11. I saw something else under the sun. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes?
Solomon.
Look at me. Who is Pastor Ita? He doesn't have money. Don't worry. Spirit of poverty. Worry him. Okay, I've heard you. Good. Do you think that we can take Solomon's wealth-making tips? Solomon. Can we listen to Solomon?
Yes, sir.
Man solo. Can we listen to him? Was he rich? Did he know how to make money?
Yes, sir.
Every year, steadily. This one was not the one you say, oh, by luck. Was it luck? Solomon made... I can't start teaching you Solomon. Go and read your Bible. Go and look at Solomon. The Bible tells you the revenue he aimed for and above every year. It was 666 talents of gold. Do what you like with that number. It's written there. Solomon steadily traded. He invested steadily. He sent them out and they came back with profit. He planned it thoroughly. It was a coordinated system. He was very blessed. You know, his father left him. No. The scriptures tell you Solomon's business ventures. It tells you what they bought, what they sold. Solomon dealt in horses, amongst other things. He would buy it from Egypt and sell it. It's laid out. It's laid out. I'm not guessing. This is not from the book of Jashar. This is in the Bible. Let's listen to Solomon talk about money briefly. Neither is the bread to the wise. Solomon, I don't know what you're saying. You're saying that the race is not won by the person that runs fast. What kind of talk is that? All of us know that it's the guy that runs fast that wins the race. So was Solomon on one of his drunken sprees? Is it when he was trying out a new drug? Oh, you don't know Solomon used to experiment? I have to tell you many things. Go and listen to my messages on Solomon from 2017. 18. You should sit at Solomon's feet briefly. Don't stay long. I'm very serious. Jesus came and said, a greater than Solomon is here. But all over the world, people are following Solomon. You see what happens to you when you can't see. What happens to you is a bad thing. You gotta make Solomon a big deal. Someone came. Stand up. No, let the men stand up. Stand this way. Who looks like Solomon here? Who looks like Jesus? It is Solomon. Sharp. Solomon. King Solo. Correct guy. Yes? He collected most of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. He didn't say all of that. A lot of that, his father said it. Yeah, you should hear him tell. He told you, he said, my father told me and my mother. He tells you. So you have to pay attention to Solomon. But he rearranged it. He ordered it. Hezekiah's men also later on added. So the book of Proverbs is a lot of Solomon's collected sayings. The book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Songs of Solomon. That's Solomon's, some of his work. The Bible says he spoke about, we know it's some of his work because in chapter 1, it tells you that Solomon spoke about biology, chemistry, physics, and many things. Yes. Yes. Solomon was impressive as a human being. Scriptures say he was wiser than all the wise men of his time. They're the wise men known that people traveled to other nations, kings, sent, go and ask, you know, we have computers. They will send, go and ask this person. Go and ask this. The Bible says Solomon was wiser than them all in every nation of earth. It was a God-enabled capacity that was placed within him. Then the Lord Jesus came in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42 and said, the queen of the south, queen of Sheba, will rise at judgment with this generation and condemn it. Why? For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And now, one greater than Solomon is here. Was Jesus saying they should go and follow Solomon? No, he was saying on the day of judgment, stand up, be the queen of Sheba. This queen came to meet this king to hear his wisdom. She came from where? She came from where? I gave you 2 chances. You fell happily. I'll show you pity and give you 1 more chance. She came from where?
The ends of the earth.
Do you know why he's saying the ends of the earth? You don't understand. You don't. She was willing to pay a price to come from extremely far away. You don't understand what the ends of the earth means as an idiomatic expression. She was willing. Do you think she flew? You think she was King Saul that had a gold-plated plane? You think she flew in? Do you understand the danger? Do you know how they used to travel? You can't imagine. It's like a town traveling. Do you know how many soldiers she needs? Do you remember when Israel was coming out of Egypt and going to where God was taking them to? And they would get to a country and say, please, let's pass through your highway. And they'll say no. And come out with armies to push them back. On what basis did kings not come out and attack Queen Sheba? The point is, you did not travel except at great risk. Did you see how much gold she traveled with? Do you think the people that love gold were not on the route from under her trip? She took the risk. The Bible says she gave Solomon about 120 talents of gold. That's so much money your brain can't comprehend. She traveled with that. She traveled with that. He says she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She came. She came with gifts. She came with all sorts of things to hear the wisdom of Solomon. That's the price that woman was willing to pay to get some wisdom. And the scriptures tell you that the Lord Jesus said, on the day of judgment, I'll use this woman as a witness against you people. When she gives her witness, when I ask her, yes, Queen Sheba. So what did you do to get Solomon's wisdom? When she finishes talking, he said it will condemn Israel. The ones Jesus came to meet. Stand. The ones Jesus came to meet, the Israel of God, said that this woman's actions, not that she's going to speak against them, but the choices she made will serve as condemnation against these cities which the Lord himself was. And he introduced himself as one greater than Solomon. Now, let's now talk about you. Whew, you're the third in the group. Please, do understand who this is. Go back to the verse before. They don't understand. Just shift back. The Bible tells you that they came to Jesus and demanded a sign. Some of the scribes and Pharisees, verse 38 of Matthew 12, came to Jesus and said, Lord, we desire a sign from you. Teacher, we want to see a sign. He answered, a wicked, talk about being diplomatic. A wicked and adulterous generation demands a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah, which is what? 3 days in the belly of the fish. You should know it. And he told them right there that he would be gone for 3 days. Did he prove it? Did they believe? See, when God wants to punish you, there's nothing you believe. And he went on in verse 40 to tell them that. Verse 41. Then he begins to make comparisons. By the way, let me inform you guys. The men of Nineveh will stand at the judgment with this generation. The men of Nineveh, come. The men of Nineveh will stand at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Why? Because the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Jonah preached. They say, hey, they fasted and repented. Listen to me, if you're here, you're hearing me. When you are preached at, you reject it. When you're spoken to, you reject it. When you're told something, that's exactly what the Pharisees and scribes did. That's one of their trademarks. Nothing ever applies to them. And that thing he says is for sinners. They can say, amen. Yes, preach it. The moment you say you. Me. Me. Hey, see this man. Me. Us. The men in Nineveh did not do that. Did we see this yesterday when we saw how the criminal on the cross, the two people on the cross, one said, our situation, we deserve it. If you're in that category, God has sent me to show you mercy. Hey, listen, you're in that category of those that whenever something is said, you can't see how it can apply to you. It can't be you. It is true that people are proud, but not you. It is true that people are disobedient, not you. It's true that people are rebellious, you, not you. It's true that, yeah, everywhere. I've heard many stories of people that are greedy, but me, not me. It's not me. Me, I'm not greedy. God knows my heart. Listen to me. You are perfectly aligned for what is coming for you. Because you have not learned anything from Jesus. In their minds, they are saying, Nineveh, that wicked city. We, scribes and Pharisees, who study the law day and night, who can quote it from beginning to end, from the end back to the beginning? Me. This is how to be condemned when the accuser comes against you. He said, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Read the last line with me. And now, one greater than Jonah is here. So, first thing Jesus said about himself is that he's greater than
Jonah.
Oh, may you see. He called himself one greater. Should I just shorten the process? He's the one who is greater than everyone else. It's not about Solomon. It's not about Jonah. It's everyone else. Like when Jesus talks and anyone else talks, go with Jesus. Jesus is the one, the greater. He's the most high. No one is greater than him. Now, Jonah was super anointed. How do we know he was greater than Jonah? One, he said to number two. Jonah is the one that when he preached and the people repented, he was angry. When Jesus preached, people repented, he's happy. So Jesus is greater than Jonah, even if you just check it yourself. Jonah is like, what's the meaning? After what this person has done. How can I forgive them like that? What kind of thing is that? After all my years. Do you remember the older brother of the prodigal son? Prodigal. You're angry. Jesus looked at those people he paid and he said, are you angry because I'm good? I agreed to pay you how much? 5,000 for your labor today. Then these people that came around 4 o'clock and worked till 5, I paid them 5,000 too. And you're complaining, forming protest group. Is it not my money? Can I not do what I like with my goodness? I've chosen to give you the 5,000 I agreed on and give them too. Yeah, but I've been born again all these 34 years. Eh? This girl just got born again. I'm the one that led her to Christ. What kind of play is this? In all my 38 years, I've seen 3 visions. This girl has seen 3 visions in the first month of my leading her to Christ. Where is this going, Lord? Where is this going? I don't understand. So, truly, God is partial. Partial. We will be here serving faithfully, not stumbling, not misbehaving. This girl. So she just got gift of prophecy. I remember how I waited and fasted the Lord in the, I think it was the 14th year. Why, God, why? I will not attend. I cannot celebrate anything. So while they rejoice, he's gone. The girl is giving testimony. People are laughing. See your face. People think you're being spiritual. Meanwhile, envy is eating you raw. Don't die. This God. So that guy has healing gifts. So people, he prays for people. They get well. So that's how it is. That's how it is. So faithfulness is not rewarded. I'm seeing it. I think I'm understanding something. You're understanding something. In fact, let's simplify it. Come here, my dear. How often do you fast weekly? Me? I don't fast though. Okay, there was that Sunday we came that you kept us till 4. That was my first fasting then. No, I don't think there's any of that. There was a day I fasted till 10. You're laughing somewhere in this church. I can't remember who. I laughed and almost fainted. I wasn't told. I'm fasting till 10. 10 in the morning, my people. Say 6 to 10. I think that was supposed to make heaven laugh. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. No, but it's fine and good. So do you know what an older brother concludes? Sister, we need to talk. We need to check your salvation. You know, the enemy is deceptive. So you have to be careful. This, you know, this gift from Satan. You know, this power that is from Satan. So you have to, you know. Have you ever undergone deliverance? We are going to need to put you through. There's lying wonders and signs. Oh God. Yes, but that's what we are here for. You know, we who have walked with the Lord. God, he cannot walk out 38 years. I can never agree. But the Lord Jesus is greater than such behavior. And he says, Jonah, you try. Very powerful anointing. As he preached, everybody got saved. However, the one who is greater than Jonah is here. A greater preacher. A preacher who, after he preaches and brings you to the knowledge of God, he is happy that in spite of how wicked you are, you have turned back to the Lord. They rejoice in your returning to the Lord. You're turning to the Lord. They don't stand and look. This guy with all those tattoos. Now, if Jonah is your mentor, just as you ask, if Jonah is your mentor, how many of you know you might tend to be Jonah-ish? You think if Jonah was with you as he went to preach and came out and waited to wait for the destruction of the city. You do know he had to wait 40 days, right? Oh, you don't know? Yet 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah waited for more than a month. That's not casual waiting. So he was counting. So whether I was preaching, you know, 40 or whatever. But he preached and they made sure he left before the 40th day arrived. And stood outside, far away to look. I should tell you what he was thinking about. Say Sodom and Gomorrah. Say fire. That's what Papa Abraham had said, that when they said Sodom and Gomorrah will be destroyed, fire fell from heaven. So Jonah went and waited. Talk about verse 5, Jonah 4, 5. Then Jonah left the city. He left it like Lot. He left it and sat down east of it where he made himself a shelter and sat in his shade to see what would happen to the city. But the one who is greater than Jonah is here. He doesn't want it to happen. Are you understanding? That he delivered the word of judgment to you does not mean he wants it to happen. You know, this is where many people get confused. You think if God says this will happen and that will happen, you think he's saying it's over. Please have sense in Jesus' name. When the Lord speaks like that, all he is doing is trying to free you, to save you. He's hoping you'll be convicted and afraid enough to repent, Lord. And that's exactly what the people did. They repented. And the Lord was only too happy to show mercy. He called back those angels of judgment. Hey, tell your guys to undress. They've repented. Now look at, they've sustained the repentance. They mean it. You know, so tell them to drop their weapons. Where are those your angels? Tau, Fa, Kau, Ra, Nal, and Dal. How are you guys? Well done. This particular judgment will not happen. Sheath your sword. But there will be other assignments. Okay, so just go and walk off in the gym of heaven. Just go and walk it off. Walk it off. You know, they are very fierce angels. You want to see angels? Do you? I'll ask for you to see angels. You want to see angels? Not now, so the meeting will go on. Not now. 2018, we have a meeting, and I said, do you, Can't remember. They had something to do, the angel of our church. I said, you know, if you see the angel of our church, do you want to see? And you know, typical, why you're not hearing many responses? Because those days, if, you know, when you're ignorant, you don't know what. They're like, yeah. You want to see? Father, open your eyes. Next thing, they're breaking chest. Because the guy is big, was big. I think they changed him long ago. Yeah. Big guy, like. Very big guy. Very scary. And they say he wasn't smiling almost at all. His face was enough to make people reconsider their life choices. All right. But in this building, that was warehouse. In this building, the one they saw was so big that, and multiple people saw it. When you hear multiple people write and say the same thing, you know, it can't be fabricating. They must have seen, because the similarities, like, they didn't say it on the mic, but it was like this, like this, like this, like this, the same being, being described. I wonder where a meeting like that would be. That would be 2019 or so. My point, their angels are very fierce. You do know, I'm sure you've heard the story in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, that when Satan is locked up, that it is one angel. So all those ideas you have in your head, have your ideas. Ah, Michael must be the strongest. Who told you? Leave it. I'm just saying, Michael fought with his angels against the great dragon and his angels. But when the angel that locked Satan up showed up in Revelation 20 verse 1, he's one. He sees the dragon, he, verse 2. An angel with a chain seized the dragon and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, who is this? What's the name of this angel? I only do this once in a while just to cause problems for all these children of God that know everything. Go around knowing everything. Say, well, today I'm here to teach on angels, number one at the top of the list. Where do you... Stop. 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 Those you just know the names of two angels. Two or three. Bah, Michael, Gabriel. Just agree. Say, well, there's these two angels. We know their name. Michael, Gabriel. We know Michael is an archangel for sure. We've heard from other sources. They say Gabriel is also Betuel. We know Gabriel stands in the presence of the Lord. We know Gabriel carries major messages. We know Michael is a warrior angel. But the Bible says that he stands for your people, Israel. So Michael is Israel's angel. You took him and made him the angel of the whole earth. You see, from the beginning, you started goofing. Now, I could suggest names of other angels, but again, let's stick with scripture. And then there's all this, there's this whole angelic realm. What do you know about them? So cool down. You clear your throat. Then you start spewing error. I've told you, be humble in this world. It will do you more good than you can believe. Maybe God will teach you a few things. Enjoy not knowing some things. You have to learn to enjoy it. Be delighted in a level of ignorance. It will keep you low. So God can lift you up. Walk around cocky, saying strong things. There are four, the better be four. The better be four. Or learn what I've taught you. Say, I am aware of at least four. That's safe language. Are you hearing me? Stop being dogmatic. Again, if I teach you, if the Lord teaches you through me, learn these things. Or I will take great delight in shooting you down. Your balloon. I'll just shoot it just because I have a gun. Tomorrow you now have a church. Now preach one powerful message. And I'll now come up. Don't be punctuating. I'm saying it so you won't invite me. Other than that, be humble as you stand there. There are seven.
I can give you 9. And I suspect I have up to 14. That's in my last study. 18 years ago. But if I check it again, there might be 29. Humble language. It's first in the heart. As I'm standing here, I want you to let you know that, you know, I've deciphered. What do you decipher? We seem in part. So we speak in part. You want the scripture for what I just said? I've just given you. Everything you've seen is only part you saw. Therefore, your mouth should only open in part. Stop opening your mouth as a whole. When you open your mouth, the authoritative representative of heaven has spoken. Do you know more than? I may not know more than, but God knows more than. And God knows that there are angels whose names you don't know, who take hold of Satan. I suspect it's one hand. Why? Because he's holding a chain in the other hand now. And he's holding a key. In fact, how do we even know? Because there's this key, there's a chain. How do you even know? years. I'm trying not to talk much. Satan doesn't like this kind of thing at all. Satan is a powerful angelic being, very powerful. When God pushed him away, he didn't lose his power. That's why you can walk away from God and your brain cannot understand that. No, once you turn away from the Lord, his blood is gone, everything's gone. I've told you it's not true. You can turn away from the Lord and see, you had known the way to the city. You know where they keep the key. You're no longer living in the compound, but you still know where the key is. Still know how to access. You think you understand the things of the spirit? We are learning small, small. Let's agree it's small, we know, eh? First, agree it's small, you know. Maybe you know more. I refuse to open my mouth too much in the age to come. I will not be among you, walking around with your mouth open, realizing how wrong you were on everything. Me, I'll only open it once in a while. Some people will just get vice, just keep it open. All your followers on earth will be like, Pap, I've told you why some people's heaven will be like hell. Because all is happening is that all their followers are saying, I thought you said, every step. So you see someone running, leave me alone! They say, where is he? They say, I don't know. It's like in outer darkness. Why? He was running from all these people. If you see people pulling out tapes, CDs, saying, no, let me play something for you that you said. So the guys went around speaking authoritatively, endlessly. Say what is clear in scripture. Say what you're sure the Lord has given you conviction of. Say, but you see all these numbers. There are 2. There are 13. Don't be talking like that much. Then, say, only, the word only, the word never, the word absolutely, the word cannot, the words like that. Slow down. We are sure of some things. And don't even presume when you read something in the Bible that means, oh, so you mean when God, Jesus called Jonah and called Queen of Sheba, that those are the only people he's greater than? You think he couldn't go on calling names? You mean he can't say he's greater than David? But did he say it? It's not everything he said now. John said at the end of his book that if you had to write everything Jesus said and did, that the books of the world could not contain it. Did you not read? So even what Jesus did, God made sure that they did not put out all.
You don't know what he meant in John 16. When he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. He will remind you of what I've said. When the Holy, why do you think the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke are so similar? Because that's what the Holy Spirit reminded them and insisted that they say. Then he left out all. So you think it's a mistake that none of them spoke about what Jesus was doing between age 12 and 30? Huh? No, that's deliberate. Very deliberate. The Lord left out things. Left out things. Left out things. Deliberate, because you only need some things. You want Moses to tell you what he was doing when he was up there for 40 days? There's much we don't know. Scriptures give you snippets. What did Jesus do when he went to Egypt to his parents? The Lord doesn't think it's important. Has been important. So he gives you what you need. Now, if you have this evil curiosity, let me go and read things and find out. I heard there's a book. They said when he went to Egypt, he went and learned magic. See, before you were stupid. Now, you're gone. What is more stupid than stupid? Gone. You cannot. Don't be hunting what is not missing. Have you heard me? Say, no, I just said, let me read this thing. That thing will sit in your brain and eat away. Believe me, I know. That thing will sit in your brain and eat you alive. You're looking for forbidden knowledge. Don't want forbidden knowledge. You look at the cover of the book. It says the secret life of Jesus. Between 12. Just close it and finish it. For your sanity's sake. For your sake. Oh, this movie is about run. I heard some years ago, so they brought out some movie about Jesus as a boy. When you find out that the people that are making the movie make pornographic movies, what do you think you watch? When you hear who wrote the movie, you're like, so if Satan organized the movie about Jesus, what do you think would be inside the movie? I've forgotten the name of that movie. Who heard of it? So I told you guys about it some years ago. It's about Jesus as a young boy. If you know who made the film, you wouldn't touch it with your fingernail that you've already cut off. You'd be very far from it. But you see, but most, the average person does not check out anything. You don't test anything. I say, it's a film about Jesus. How do you know it's not true? A satanist wrote something and you think it's what? You think he won't punch Jesus in his movie? He's going to try and distort reality. Because he does not love Jesus. He hates Jesus. So you must be very careful about what you see and hear. And that's a warning to someone. That's a very real warning. We are reading Matthew 12. Jonah will be a source of... Are you Jonah? Who are you? You are the men of Nineveh. And Queen of Sheba, verse 42. Queen of South will rise in a judgment with this generation. Where's this generation? See here. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And now one greater than Solomon is here. So you want to hear a powerful preacher? Listen to Jesus. I'm not saying you should read Jonah. Read Jonah and see, hear the voice of Jesus. You get? But I showed you where he was not as great as Jesus. He was unhappy with their deliverance. Wasn't happy. He was more bad. He preached and didn't have faith for it to work. Do you get? He didn't necessarily want it to. He didn't want them saved. He was angry. And God, up till the last verse, the Lord had to explain to him, you want me to destroy them? They even have small babies now. And cows. The Bible actually says they have cows. Hey! Okay, let me leave it. Cows are important to God. But all Nigerians know cows don't matter. So who wrote... Is there an Aboki that wrote that passage? Should I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has 120,000 people cannot tell their hand from their left, and has
many cattle as well.
Ooh. I've heard Nigerians say so many times that, imagine, they even consider cult. I now saw God to read your Bible. If you want to have problems in this world, read your Bible with your eyes open. You have issues. Some of you, you just read past. God cares about cows. So don't kill someone's cow. Oh, mouths are opening. You see how blind people are? God just said that the reason he doesn't want to destroy Nineveh is this 120,000 whom we suspect are babies who don't know their left from their right. And cows. He mentioned two categories of beings. Ignoramuses and cows. And at the end, you see when I say God cares about cows. God cares about cattle. Is that better? Let me not say cow, because now cattle are cats. I thought cattle was cow. Bulls and cows. Forgive my ignorance. God cares about cattle. It is what it is. You thought God was on your side. No, God is on the side of truth. You thought God is a Southern Nigerian. No. No, God is God. And God said, I will not destroy this place because of the cows. And if you can change the meaning, feel free. Tell me about it. I'd like to hear your own interpretation. God cares about living things. That's just the point. Far more than you think. Far more than you think. So you don't just casually kill anything. Kill mosquitoes. There are many. You don't just go out. You just saw something. You killed it. Saw a cat. Just killed it. Saw a dog. There's a reason you shouldn't eat dogs. I'm not saying deep poverty, you can't, but I'm saying there's a reason you leave some things. Years ago, I thought on this. You can't eat everything. Have a heart. You can't eat everything. God has things that says you can eat, like cows. If he has sharp teeth, sharp claws, leave it. They are not to be eaten. If he can fight back violently, leave it. He catch a chicken. Quack, quack. Go and try to eat an eagle. What is your problem? You looked at a vulture. You said, food. Did you look at him? How does he look like food? God made him look like that, so you stay away. I say, no. I want to eat that one. So, but I'm telling you, because before you said, I don't know that list from the book of Leviticus. No, it's simple. I just gave you quick and fast. How is it? Again, I'm not saying it's a law. It's not heaven or hell. But there's a reason. Let me not cause too much trouble in one Sunday. All right. But there's a reason snails ooze. In my language, it means insananya. Have you tried to hold a snail before? And it sat, you held it tight. Or it did foom. Have you held the body of a snail before? And what did he do? Learn to read the signs. Leave me alone. You won't read. Okay now. Someone does not like, how can we not eat snails? In the Bible, it was amongst the list of things that were not to be eaten. Remember, it's not a law. You can eat it. I eat it when I come across it by error. Listen carefully. I'm saying that so you understand. I'm not saying it's a sin against the Holy Ghost. I'm saying that generally as a lifestyle, I like eating. There are things God made not to be eaten. That all over the world, they eat it. There are health disadvantages you have because of eating. And go and hear the many things I've said about food. There are quite a number of meetings where I spoke about kinds of food. The people that don't eat those things are the healthiest people on earth. I didn't say they are the best Christians. I said they are the healthiest. That's a fact. The Seventh-day Adventists. They live longest, healthiest, for the longest times. Those who follow those rules. I heard it on the BBC. And they went studying, checking out the longest living individuals. And they found out that they were the Seventh-day Adventists in the U.S. who had followed Moses' diet plan. That's why what God meant when he said that you may live long. He didn't mean busha. He meant live long. And when he said that I may be well with you, he meant that you may be healthy. So I was ignoring it. And I'm guilty of it steadily. So I'm not condemning you. But our life experience is less enjoyable than those who follow. I don't follow because if I had someone to manage that for me, I probably would follow it. There's a reason. Your body changes. All this medication, all this stuff, you may not need it. Because God's diet plan is superb. I'm not saying snails eat feces, so only. I mean, have you had no idea? If it is rotting, the pawpaw, if it's messed up, the snails ate it. It wasn't the cat. It was the snail. Just go out at night. Oh yeah, who has hunted snails? You found them. Gathered around. There's a reason God has said them eat it. You use salt, you use lime, you use Epsom salt. You have that. Alum, everything. You say, lose it, let it, lose it, lose it. I cast you out, all spirit of slime. Every sign that was put there, leave this one alone. You're like, Babu. No. You look like food. No. Again, I understand when there's great poverty, but let me tell you what happened in my life years ago. When I found out these things, thank God for my wife. I said, we won't be eating this thing in this house. Nope. That's why we've eaten in my house, and almost very many of you have. You don't see periwinkle in the food. Why? What is periwinkle? Where did it come from? The bottom of the sea. What does it eat? Let's not talk about crayfish. All right. So, peace to Israel. The Israelites of God, peace to you. There's a reason. So the Jews didn't eat all those things. God told them don't. And they didn't. But I think God understands with us too. Things are not easy. And this is not the promised land. Do you understand? We make do, okay? So, enjoy. But if you don't have to, leave it alone. All of those things, different ones, they carry things. They carry things from where they dwell. If there's a clean version of possibility of doing it, yeah, but generally they carry things. Even the kinds of fish, he said. Those fish, he said, they shouldn't eat. It's been found out. When he said, he didn't explain. All those fish eat a certain way. Bottom feeders and the rest. The ones he said you can eat a certain way. The Most High God who made all things knows. This one's body has poisonous toxins because of what it feeds on. Those crabs and lobsters you enjoy have within them embalmment fluid. Yes. Inbuilt. Oh, you think all the people that died and sank to a bottle of sea just disappeared? Something ate it. Welcome, Mr. Crab, Mr. Lobster, Shrimpo, Crayfish. You think all those sharp things are for nothing? No. Uh-huh. So they are the clean-up crew of heaven. It's not that they don't carry it somewhere and dump. They dump it inside them. Then those, that their body makeup that God created with handles it. But you look at it. Look at a crab. Medieval armor in place. Come on. So let's be honest. Don't say God is not fair. Look at, he made it scary enough. If all how it looked didn't work, what about his walking like this? He said, stop, you won't hear. He saw something walking sideways. All over the earth, everything works like this. I'm making a case for our God. Let me free this brother. Because there's always someone saying, if God didn't want, I've shown you that God wanted. He painted it on their face. Like Cain, put a mark on him. Don't touch him. You still went. My life policy, my goal in this life is to kill Cain. Have you seen a snake move? Why are you not shivering? Why is your back not doing anything? Something not. He said, I'll eat you. Again, I've told you, not a sin to eat it. But what must be done to discourage you from looking at everything and calling it food? Huh? Look at something and say, ooh, and walk away. He looked at a cat. Look at a cat. Look at the hair. Look at the fur. Under it looks blue. Who has had a cat? When you pat it, what color is under there? You have not had a cat? Nobody here? You never patted the fur of a cat and looked at how his skin looks? What color do you see? Brown? Look at how dense the hair is. Look at the claws. How did you hold a cat to kill it and eat? How? Tell me how you killed it. So that does not show you is against the law of nature for something that needs to be put in a bag that you can't look eye to eye. Something as flexible as you had the mind saying aside, they eat it. Repent. That one, when I preach on this thing, different time. When it comes to cat, you better ask God to forgive you. You looked at something like that. Where's the meat, sir? I'll chop you. The only guy whose body looks like a cat is a rabbit. And is in the list of things you shouldn't eat. Who? You looked at a rabbit's face. Look at its sweet. Say, today, Kemefuna, you die. There has to be a little more kindness in the hearts of Christians, I'm saying. We are not like everybody. Eh? Know the heart of your father. You hear me? Know the heart of your father. Don't be brutal. And I'm serious. Someone is here. You believe in eating cats. Stop it. And try and take dog off your this thing. They trusted you too much for you to do that. That's the really Kemefuna. It's wrong in every way. He trusted you. Look at, he trusted you. Handed him over. Said things are hard. You sold the dog. Don't do that to dogs. Don't say our side does it. Stop. Except there's intense poverty and lack. Then even if your dog, if you can explain it, he will sacrifice himself for you. But to casually go around life eating dog, asking for cat meat, no. Huh? Let catfish, which is illegal, at least manage the fish version. Not the guy himself. Huh? You hear me? I'm serious. So. See that I'm saying it. That means this. Again, somebody here. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but come on. Learn. I'm serious. Don't just go around and say, I want a delicacy. Come on, what is a delicacy? Afang soup is a delicacy. Edikangi kong is a delicacy. Ekpang kuku is a delicacy. Simple things. Don't mind the people of the world. They don't know enough. The God who made all things knows better. Have you heard me?
Yes, sir.
Scriptures say that a greater than Solomon is here. These people will stand witness. And I want to get to the third stage. You can sit down, Nineveh. Sheba, you can sit down. O covenant Israel, stand. You will be condemned because of these other ones. They pay the price. They listened. They listened to Jonah, a stranger. They listened. Me, I am your brother. You're not listening to me. There's nothing hardly as painful as when you speak to someone who should know better. You're telling them truth and they reject it. It's such a hopeless feeling. Especially the ones who should know. That's why Jesus was doing it. He said, look at you. You that should know. I'm talking to you. You're rejecting it. You will be condemned. I see that happen and it makes me feel very sad. Many times with people. It's a very painful feeling. As a preacher, as a servant of God, I know it. The feeling that you're talking to someone and you know what you're saying will come to pass and they are not listening. They insist on holding their opinions. Now, did Jesus prove himself right? Oh, yes. Was he right? Yes, it began already. He told them they would be destroyed. Their temple would be torn down. All of that happened within less than 40 years. It happened. He warned them. They wouldn't listen. He said, this generation won't pass. They didn't listen. It happened. Why you should listen to God and his messengers? Why you should not be quick to discountenance who is speaking to you? Jonah, a stranger, instead of their catching him and saying, stupid man, where do you come from to come and be talking nonsense? Come here. We'll kill you here. Next time you have a foolish message, don't bring it to the great city, Nineveh. They didn't do that. From the king up, he repented. I hope you understand what we are saying here, because if God sends you a messenger and you refuse it, if God sends you a message and you refuse it, your condemnation is assured. You will explain to God why you rejected the message. Is it because it was a lie? Is it because you investigated what was said and you concluded this could only be false? Why did you reject the message? Whatever is said to you in the name of the Lord, if you are not sure, go search it out. Pray to God and say, God, I don't think this message is from you. But if it is not something you should reject, why did you reject it? This is what will bring the condemnation here. They received a Jonah. And the Lord Jesus was here and they rejecting him. How did he say it? He said he came unto his own, John chapter 1. And his own received him not. He came to his own. Every messenger of God is sent to certain people. Hear me, this is important. Now, I know many messengers of God have twisted the message. That's where the problem arises. When they twist the message. The message was, go and tell them that I expect everybody to bring 2 cups of Gary and a small sachet of salt as they are coming for 3 days. That's all they should bring. And you come and tell the people. This is what messengers do. This is what men of God have done all over. They said at least one bag of garri, everybody. You bring one bag of garri and a carton of sugar. I've delivered the message. You drop it with my assistant, my secretary. What did God ask for? 2 cups of garri, a little salt. So the prosperity preacher comes and he blows it out of proportion. God is wondering, who, when, how, what's that? And you believe it. Another one comes and says, he says everyone should stay hungry 200 days. The Lord said something to Jeremiah. He said, and my people love to have it so. We've shared from the book of Zechariah chapter 7 here many times, where they came and said, we've been fasting on the 5th month and the 7th month. Should we continue? Write it down and go and read. We haven't read before. Zechariah chapter 7. And the prophet got the word of the Lord and said, God said, when you are fasting over a period of 70 years, every 5th and 7th month, was it for me you fasted? And I've asked anyone who cares to hear, who wants to find out at the end of a 70-year practice that you were on your own? Who is looking forward to that kind of discovery? At the end of a 70-year practice, God's like, I didn't have any hand in that. I don't know why you were doing it. He said, ask them, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months for these 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not doing so simply for yourself? He said, the fasting was for you. The eating, it was for you. Very clearly, I had no hand. Then he went on to explain, down to verse 11. He just went on and said, didn't I tell you through the prophets? Shouldn't you have obeyed the prophets I sent to you? That's the messengers I sent. You prefer difficult things. You didn't listen to the specifics of what I say. Showing love, being compassionate, mercy, justice, faithfulness. Remember Matthew 23, Jesus said, these are the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. But instead, you go focusing on all sorts of things. That is why my message, I mean myself, is constantly about those things. About love. That's mercy. Loving kindness, whatever you call it. Justice, do what is right and fair, as you want others to do to you. Faithfulness, be faithful in whatever is assigned to you. Be faithful. That's Christianity. Jesus took it and boiled down and said that the law, which you threw away, was about mercy, justice, and faithfulness. Jesus said so. You look in there and say, no, it's just rules. No, it's teaching you how to practice justice. It's teaching you how to practice mercy. It's teaching you how to be faithful. That's the heart of God. That's at the core. That's the weightier intention of all the Bible you read. You read yon and came out and said, power. Show me power in that list. Let me tell you what power is for. It's for showing mercy. You didn't hear me. And in the future, it's for exacting justice. That's what power is for. Power is an enabler of these core things. Power is not for you to be known, popular, stand out. It never was and never will be. Power is not for impressing. Power is for showing mercy. You're not feeling well. Father, I ask, heal her. All the gifts of faith, that's what power is for. To show mercy. This is the situation. Father, I'm asking everyone that is holding up anybody's money here, I ask that the money be released. That's power to release justice. The foundation of his throne. Righteousness and justice. We are going to have to be careful. Faithfulness, same thing. It helps you do what you ought to do continually. Give me the next verse, verse 43. The Lord Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 12. After Jesus told this story in verse 42 about Israel not paying attention to the one who is greater than Solomon, he began to tell a story in Matthew's record about what happens when evil spirits leave someone and come back, and how the last situation is worse than the first. Amongst other things, he was telling the people of Israel that when I set you people free, if I set you free, and the freedom I've brought to you will end up being judgment against you, your latter state will be worse than your first because you have refused to come to me. Back to verse 42. I wanted to show you the most horrible. In this story we just told, you think Israel, the Jews, were the worst. There's us, the church. Come. There's the church. Move away. Don't come too close. Stand there. The church showed up after this story was written and told you that a greater than Solomon is here. You know this Bible has been around for a few thousand years, right? See the church. That's us, Abby. Washed by the blood. Yes? We came to meet the story of Nineveh and Kwabi. And guess what we did? Hello. Hello. King Solo. Teach us. You don't understand. Oh, you don't understand, but you have all the Solomonic books of money making. No, in spite of all this story. Hi. Save me. Thank you. Teacher, teach us. Teach us. Then we left here and went out into the whole world and preached Solomon. This is the disaster that is called prosperity preaching. What a thing. No, we have time for Jesus. So are you feeling sick? You are feeling sick. Are you feeling sick? Yes. Can Solomon handle it? Mm-mm, that's not his gift. So let's briefly visit Jesus. Touch us, Lord. Back. Let's stay where we are called to. Man Solo, teach us the principles worth making. Why you look so much like Israel of old? We do not know. We've wondered. We thought you'd be different. You are so much. Bible says that they loved money. You don't understand? I didn't do it well. This is where she was getting her education from too. Oh, Matthew 16. He said they loved money. They loved money. Money is their thing. Luke 16, sorry. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money. Who came to Jesus? Verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all of this and were coughing at Jesus. What did he do? Oh, he talked about money. He told them, you cannot serve God and money. And they went like, look at this man. He doesn't understand. We have concocted a way to serve God and money. I think I heard a preacher say it. I think I heard a very famous preacher say this thing. And what was that sentence? He said, he said something that it is normally said you can't serve God and money, but we have found a way to serve God with money. Oh, wow. Jesus, please step away. One greater than you has come. Thank you all. Listen to me. May these people standing not be in vain. May that long stand they stood to illustrate the point. May you understand. You think Jesus left heaven and came to save cash? No, he didn't. And I've told you the number one way not to do God's will is pursue money. How did all this start? Of course, it's for major individuals here. There are people that heard us preach these things, left here and went and did juju to have money. So if you think when I'm preaching that I'm preaching to people that don't exist, you are highly, sorely mistaken. That was not a figurative expression. That was a real story. But people that have sat under me, heard me preach. I don't even preach. I'm calm these days. I'm calm. They've heard me preach violently against the love of money. Then you hear someone say that I'm on my way to a native doctor. Because when you hear the message, you reject it. You hear the message, you reject it. And go like, no, that, or that can't happen to me. Or well, I don't agree with you, pastor. I think Jesus wants us to have money. That's why I said first and foremost, stop reading all those books. Go and get rid of them. Don't even have them. And don't be spreading error. Now I'm going to give a time for asking questions so you can ask. But if you don't ask and you continue in your practices, one day, on the day of judgment, you will be condemned. Why do you think the Pharisees couldn't follow Jesus? They scoffed. And if you don't know that the Pharisees were the most, in quote, righteous of their time, then you don't know much. They paid tithe from seeds that God did not factor in when he asked for tithe. Tithe. That Matthew 23 tells you. They gave tithe of everything, but they did not know mercy. They did not know justice. They did not know faithfulness. They use externalities in this nation and around the world have been practices that are exactly like described on Pharisees. I don't believe in having experience when someone else has experienced it and told us the story. I don't. Why would I want to experience painful things? When it happened to her, it should happen to me too. What does that even mean? Let's use you as the example. Why must I suffer? I must have scars too. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. This is the day of God's favor, His grace. This is the day you get to know God. Stop mixing Him with your idols. God doesn't like idols. What's the kingdom of God? Someone is asking. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is the domain where the king is God. Kingdom, king's domain, king's dome. The territory over which the king reigns. Now, wherever he reigns, including your personal life, I don't mean reign in words, he reigns. When he gives commands, they are obeyed. That's the kingdom. But in the specific sense in which Jesus used to say it, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to be born again so you can see the kingdom. He was talking about when the Lord Jesus will rule on earth. Specifically, that is the kingdom of God. All your other interpretation, that's your interpretation. You have refused to study. So Matthew, unfortunately, would say the kingdom of heaven. But he was clear that this kingdom is coming. You call it the Lord's Prayer. Very clear language. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done. How? On earth as it is in heaven. Why could it be clearer? The kingdom is to come. So if it is heaven in the sky, how is it going to come? And I've told you, God will terraform. God is going to translate earth into the heavenly replica, as was the original intention when Adam and Eve were set to constitute and replenish the earth. He started by planting a garden. That was a microcosm, a small version of what was to be all over the earth. That was what he was happening. That's the kingdom. Then the enemy came and stole it from them, deceived them, and they handed it over to him. Why? Because to whomsoever you yield yourself as a servant to obey, his servant you are. So as they obeyed the serpent, they became slaves to sin. The serpent. That's how Satan came into power. Then the Lord Jesus was sent, promised immediately in that same Genesis, that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, and his seed will be at war with the seed of the serpent. That's Genesis 3:15. Are you seeing? This was the battle. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. He's talking to the serpent here. This is that serpent. Do you remember how I started? How we prayed at the beginning? War. People, this is the war we were praying about. Enmity. There's a battle. It will never stop. It will end with the head of the serpent being crushed. But remember, the serpent is not just the serpent and his head. He has seed. Say brood of snakes. Say children of snakes. Who did John say that to? You brood of vipers. The children of the snake are not necessarily people that don't go to church. Are you hearing me? Nah. The greatest enemies of the will of God throughout the ages has been a false religion. When you believe in a theory that says all people that call on the name of Jesus in any way, that say Jesus, are one in Christ, that means you think the Pharisees and scribes did not call on God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He said he will bruise his heel. The true body of Christ will be attacked by a substitute. The children or the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent are the children. They are the children of the woman. Which woman? Not Eve. Matthew 13 explains it. That the seed that was planted by the sower, who is the Son of Man, are the children of the kingdom. And that the seed that was planted by the enemy when men slept, have you read this before? That it was the children of the evil one. He's clear. He tells you they are seed. Human beings are seed. What should you know, everyone hearing me? Why should you not just be a civilian? Because civilians can't fight. And the great end time battle is coming. The kingdom is coming. When you're born again, you're meant to see the kingdom. When you see the kingdom coming, advancing, you must know that the kingdom advances. Acts chapter 14. It's through great tribulation that you enter it. That's the kingdom of God, suffering violence. The kingdom of God suffers violence.
Violence will be encountered. You're not going to stroll into the kingdom. Give me Acts of the Apostles. Through much tribulation. Read the second part. We must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Question, if you had entered it, which one is this hardship to enter? Excuse me, look at me, all of you that you've been told. You were told once you gave your life to Christ, you entered, you're now part of the kingdom of God. Raise your hands. That you knew. Now you're going to start telling lies. Because, give me a microphone. Let me deal with everybody. You tell me what they told you. Oh yeah, I want microphones on my right and left. Come and take. When you got born again, what happened to you? Pass it randomly. And do them to just give any soul. Why are you moving everywhere and looking at people's faces? Give it to anybody on your left and right. Hold it on that side. Don't raise your hand now. It's too late. I'm looking for sacrificial lambs. Give her. Who is there next to? Don't pick on the girl. Yes. Hey, tell me about the kingdom of God. When you got born again, what did they say happened to you?
You are not a child of God.
Speak.
Okay, I was told I'm now a child of God.
You're a child of God. What's your relationship with the kingdom of God? You've never heard this phrase before, kingdom of God. You don't even know what this is. Kingdom of heaven, God. When you die, you go to it. Pass the mic to the person on your right.
No.
I can't see your face, but it's okay. I don't mind. That one looks like she came today. Pass it to the person on your right. Does she look like someone that came yesterday? Go ahead. Kingdom of God.
So when we got born again, we were told that we are now welcome into God's fold, that we are now the sons and daughters of God, that Satan will have no power over us anymore.
Thank you for the nice expression. I'm talking about kingdom of heaven.
Yes, we were told that we are partakers of the kingdom of heaven.
Partakers.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Were you told that you enter the kingdom of heaven through hardship?
No.
Give
we
that
were
brother
not meant
behind
to
you.
Suffer.
You know, go suffer, Lala. Pass it to you. Give him. Yes, this side. Uh-huh. Yes, sister. Give it to the one next to you. Is it because you're wearing a uniform? Tell us about your relationship with the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
And the people that heard teachings on the kingdom of heaven, you're the ones that should have raised your hand. I mean, before now, you should have raised your hand and saved our brethren that they even know what key it is. They don't even know. Uh-huh. Sister.
Okay. When I gave my life to Christ, I got the explanation that instead of, you know, they recite the phrase that we give our life to Christ. So they explained to me that we are actually receiving
Christ,
the life of Christ.
Beautiful. This kingdom on God.
I like what she said, we are partakers of the kingdom and then working out our salvation with.
Are this a good church you went to? I want to be a member. Working out your salvation. That sounds good. That sounds good. Collect the mic. Pass it to Akeba. Wait, pass it. Pass it. Give me the first mail that you can see.
When I gave my life to Christ, I didn't understand. My perception of the kingdom of God was that I was born into the kingdom, that I was, in a way I thought, my understanding was that the kingdom of God was here and also in heaven. So I was just born into the kingdom. I was now part of the kingdom.
Okay. Now, what are those that were taught on the kingdom? Some teaching. You were taught something. Yes, look at him. Look, raise your hand properly so they can see you. What were you taught about the kingdom? Then you give. Go on.
Okay, the teachings on the kingdom was that once you are born again, you are granted access into the kingdom as a heir to the throne or to God.
An heir to the throne. Okay, yeah. I thought you were the head. I was really worried. Awesome. That's cool. Yes. Put it to your mouth.
We are told that it was...
Put it to your mouth.
We were told that we have to pray to connect. You drew something on the board telling us that that is our spirit mind. So we've been carrying along death, that's masturbation, everything. So you don't just get clean at once. So
where did you learn this?
Jesus Disciples Fellowship.
Okay.
So you pray, we tell you you pray, then you come for gospel all the time.
Okay. You know the thing about Jesus, who knows Jesus' Disciples Fellowship? Quite a number. How many of you attended? Okay. Okay, interesting. Remind me to make a comment about them. Or maybe to ask you questions about them. Yes.
All right. I wasn't really introduced to... like giving your life to Christ thing. Basically, was
I asked about the kingdom. Yes. I just want to know what
so
you thought
like
about
when you are baptized into the church, there are teachings they give us, like word of wisdom, basic things you can do. And what I was taught about the kingdom was basically that we'll have to live with our own families. Like, they do things about genealogy. Basically, if your parents, you know, in Corinthians, about we die every day, as Paul said, he died every day. So they use that to teach us that you die by baptizing for your parents, so like they have a family tree, basically. So,
excuse me, giving
you the hope that
who is this?
Latter Day Saints, like that in the kingdom of God, that's how you.
Okay, so the Mormons, that's the Mormons, which are not exactly the church. They're kind of Yes, tell me about Jesus' disciples. What do you think about... Where's the other mic? Go this way. Where's the hand I saw in Latter Day Jesus' disciples? The fair guy there.
Okay. My experience in Jesus' disciples.
No, the 1 minute version. Not your experience. That's too fat and big.
Like the school.
Yeah, they educate.
Yeah, they
good. Educate. But what do you think about them as of now? Bots are good. I have a bot. I know you're still a visitor. You just visit us, but
it's like their name is Jesus Disciples Fellowship. But they later change, like as you are going, then they now call themselves Kingdom Ministry. So yeah, they will expose you to things of the kingdom, the suffering. How you go to farm, to walk, to kill the flesh, and many things like that.
Only farm, breaking rock, Uncle. The rock has finished. You refuse to go to Abia State. Okay.
All right. What I know about them, when you start that freshman, new man class, after some time, you have to go to Swabab. That's where you'll suffer a lot. Like if you will be divided into groups. If your group is to break rocks or to go down the valley and bring out gravels, no matter how you suffer, they will tell you that that's the situation of your spirit man. So as you're breaking the rock, you are coming out. Your spirit man is coming out of your flesh because you must suffer the flesh to be sure that your spirit man is delivered. So like when we went to the farm once, they gave me rough machete. So when I carried this machete to cut the cassava, I was like, how come every other person's own is sharp and mine is too blunt? They told me my spirit man is blunt and that's why I have to. And Another thing is, they don't allow you to read, like Pastor tells us to read some spiritual books that can help us there. You don't read any book from anybody. They're only telling you that the kingdom men, no other person will get into the kingdom of God except them. And no other person is condemned. I believe that's the point my brother left and said, my lecturer in school is a real born again. So won't he go to heaven? How about the people in the village? Won't they go? So we stopped at a point.
All right. Well, let me say this much because of time. If you are part of that group, I would suggest you leave immediately. I know Nigerians use the word cult to refer to violent boys, but that's not what the word cult means in English so much. Rather, it means, it's more of like people who follow a leader. If you're following Jesus, that's not exactly a cult, but you can claim to follow Jesus, but you're a cult. So if you're part of that, or you've been part of that, and you're hearing this, and it's not a joke. How do you know they are exceedingly dangerous? While they teach some things that are true, anybody holding the Bible will say something that is true. That last point she made, even if that's the only reason, that's enough. I've told you, any group on earth that says they are the only way to heaven, to Jesus, is false. You cannot be. How can you be the only way? That is, if someone is not part of your group, it's useless. You're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter how sincere or devoted you are. So every other part of the body of Christ in existence now are wasting their time. So when this brother years ago joined them, didn't know about all this. And then he asked them. When did they start? They say around 2001. Say, so what about everybody before that? What about all the people? I asked them, where are you people? They say, oh, they are in Nigeria. They are in one European country or two at the time. They are in some countries, one or two, Ghana and also a few places. So the question is, so what about people everywhere else? Nobody is saved. The answer is yes, unfortunately. Only those who join them, who are part of them, their group, are saved. That is the best definition of a cult. It is so crazy, I couldn't believe it. Anyone that believes that the group you are in is the only way to know Jesus, listen. You've just heard me speak against false teaching. There's something like false teaching. A sincere child of God is partly sincere, or a sincere but mistaken child of God can say error. You can say that the cloth he was wearing was blue when it was purple. You can make a mistake, or you can argue out of pride and you're still a child of God. But when you tell people that if you're wearing purple, that you are not a human being, that you're a robot. You say you've left, you're now, the play is too serious. It's not even play again. I'm not going into the details of trying to make your flesh suffer so that you can be righteous in God. So all of that is just error. The one reason, don't forget this one, when you come across a Jesus disciple person, just ask them, do you people believe that if someone does not join your group, he's not born again? As he says yes, just tell him, listen to me. Now, you see, you have made the group Jesus. So Jesus is not the door. Jesus' disciples are the door. Do you understand? Now, that is Antichrist. That substitute Christ. It's not a small error. It's a mega error. I mean, all the things I've said that point out some errors going on in the body of Christ that are going on in different groups. Never will you hear me tell you that people cannot stay in those different denominations and be saved. You never hear me say it. But when someone has taken a group and made it Jesus, that's a pure idol. That is wicked deception. That's the kind of deception that is demonic. It's not that, oh, the leader of our group is greedy. He's using us to get stone to sell. No. Not only that. He's using us for free labor. No. You have come into demonic deception. Because it's impossible for the Holy Ghost to have revealed to anybody that it is only through joining their group that you can be a child of God. It's not possible. And they've transcended the Bible. The apostolic age is past. They are in a fourth level now. We are still in the third. We are still coming. They've gone beyond. They are in another age. So their teachings, do you know their teachings are higher than the Bible? That they can judge Peter, James, and John and say, no, that was their level. They didn't know. Do you know that? So the Bible is not their standard for life. Yes. They teach this as you keep rising, they'll let you into more light. That is not a church. You don't say, oh, this church, well, let's not condemn. That's a cult. If you are greater than the scripture, that means you understand the moment someone is above scripture, it means you can't use the scripture to disagree with them because they are greater than it. They've had a revelation greater than the scripture. So they are out of your league. If you know anyone with Jesus' disciples, you better tell them in this plain language. You better run. Ask them first, do you believe in the Bible? Then ask them, do the people you believe in believe that the Bible should instruct them? And they must ask it through. Any group on earth that says it is only through us you can come to God is anti-Christ. That is a substitute. The word anti there does not mean, you think it means opposite. It doesn't mean opposite. It means another Christ. They've created another Christ. They are Jesus' discipleship group. Otherwise known as the kingdom what? Kingdom men. Kingdom brothers. The kingdom program. That's the kingdom of darkness. That's not the kingdom of light. It's a very serious thing. It's one of the most dangerous. Why that brother that first told us about it? There's an older brother, Samuel Wilson, was part of them long before he came in. Why another brother of ours who met them in Lagos about 4 or 5 years ago was so excited at first was because they sounded, when we say, oh, this, that, the kingdom, they said the same things. I'm older. I don't get excited by anything. I say, it's okay. Just keep watching, learn. And then as time went on, till he realized that he was one of the few only in the world that will go to heaven. You know, by the time he thought about, compared to the rest of this church, how him is not even really worthy. You know, he now thought, I've come, I've taken pastor, everybody, poor pastor. Hey, yeah, even he joined. So by the time he realized that he has overtaken, he checked himself and concluded, no, I think I am wrong. You know, I told him, no, run. So they pray, they study, they speak calmly. There are other groups like that in China, in South Korea. There's a Jesus, but she's a female in South Korea. Eastern Lightning, they have another name. If you see some of these, if you hear how they sound. So someone say, look at this. No, this is just like what you teach. I say, show me first. Say, you see, they talked about Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. They talked about, I didn't get any of this. All this is in the Bible. So they took fragments. It's what happens with people. I spoke about some of it yesterday when I talked about someone falling away from the truth. What you guys don't know historically is that some of the great cults and different things of the earth, that there were people who were once in the church hanging around the apostles. Then off they went. Have you not read John say they were with us, but no more? They departed and created unbelievable creatures. You see, because you don't know the history, you don't know it's happening today too. That someone can sit here, look at what we say. You know already, it's when you look at these patterns that the Lord brings out from his word, you could pick one piece and form a whole group. You shout it loud enough, people will be impressed. Oh, wow, I've never seen it like that. Wow. It's why it's dangerous to emphasize only one thing. Because people will flock to this new information. They will flock to this new thing. And you picked it from somewhere and emphasized it to the detriment of all the full gospel. So it's not the full gospel you're teaching. You're teaching a tiny portion of the gospel. And then in that gap, you fill it with error, error, error. And people ignore your error and go with the impressive revelation. I've never seen it like this. Five stages of Christian growth. Oh, this insight. Ah, then you dwell on it. You spend every day talking about the 1,000, 2,000. You spend every day doing maths. Then you start calculating. So now, you keep calculating. Every time they find you, you're doing calculation. Next thing, you form Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what happens. It's not healthy. You go into error. Once you pick an area and only talk about that. And even when you talk about it, you're talking about it as though, see, it's only us that found out these dates. See, we are the only ones. I hope you know everybody. The moment anything teaching in your head tells you you're the only anything, you're in trouble. The moment you think you're the only, our group is the, we are the. The moment you think it, off you go into error. Jesus calmly, let me say God, so you are comforting. Calmly tells Elijah, by the way, there are 7,000 I've kept for myself who have not bowed to Baal. Calmly, 7,000. The man thought he was the only one. Almost. And he's told there are 7,000. 7,000 is the one is, how many of you know that's significant? Even though his emphasis was that it was, they've killed all the prophets except him. God didn't say that these 7,000 are prophets. He just said that there are 7,000 in Israel whom the Lord has reserved. I told you this is the elect. Okay. I know I have to take questions, but let me make sure I've finished. Because sometimes you guys don't ask proper questions. There are new people that are very cowardly. They don't ask questions. They think because others don't ask that they don't know the answer. You should ask questions when you have the chance. The kingdom of God is the nation, the holy nation Peter speaks about, referring to Exodus. The holy nation. It says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, called to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous, marvelous light. 1 Peter 2. Verse 9. Now, do you notice there that they are a holy nation? They are a chosen people. They are a people for God's own possession. They are to proclaim the virtues of him who called you. Now, let me ask you a question. Everybody, look at me. When you read this, like a typical Christian, if they ask you, Abi, you say, this is your portion, that this is it. Right? That you're chosen. So someone is going to say, if I tell you you are called, but you need to press on to be chosen, you're going to say, nope, I'm a chosen people, yes? Good. So that's how to be careless and enter trouble. How? Let me show you. We are to do what? Proclaim the virtues of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can I ask you a question? Are many Christians proclaiming, evangelizing in this world? If there are 100 Christians, born again Christians all over the world, how many of them do you think evangelize normally, go around proclaiming the virtues of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Oh yeah, let's pretend. Okay, say over 10. Let's pretend there are 10. Put all Christians on earth into 10. How many do you think evangelize? Not use yourself to assess. Talk to me. Not percent, is over 10, so it cannot be percent. 2 out of 10 Christians all over the world evangelize regularly. You know, I'm about to get personal. Soon people will be standing and sitting. I'll soon start doing testing. Talk now. Someone says 0.001. Some people are saying 1 over 10. How many of you make it a duty to evangelize every week? Once every week. Raise your hand. Just raise it. Some of you are like, eh? You cannot see we are in trouble. I said once a week. Now, this is a church. I know most people are in the overflow. Lots of new people up here, but this is a church where we emphasize evangelism. Yes? Habitually, we talk about these things. And it's like this. And how do you think it's where you came from? You still think it's 1? You think it's 0.5? People of God, you cannot find hope if you be telling lies. It is far worse than you can comprehend. I'm asking you, if you are not one who proclaims the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, if I ask you how many times you have told your life testimony, should I ask, how many times have you told about how you were called out of darkness into his marvelous light? Should I pass the mic and ask you now? All those that have told it once, all those that have not told it yet, raise your hands. Raise it fast. We have many people to ask questions. Put down your hands. All those that have told it once in a testimony on a mic, raise your hand. Or not on a mic. You shared it with someone, your life testimony, how you came out of darkness into light. Once. Put down your hand. Those that have shared it twice, not in one place, to another group. Went away to share it to another person, a group, whoever. Those that have shared it thrice. Those that have shared it, you believe, up to 10 times. You have shared your testimony up to 10 times. If I pass the mic down, you see many of these hands will go down because they don't speak proper English. You shared it where? Where did you share it? Individuals, your life testimony. Your life testimony. Your life testimony. You see, it has started fragmenting. You see. Let me not waste our time with going on. The Bible says we are to proclaim the virtue of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The average person is ashamed of his testimony. After they were told the first time, you have to tell of God's goodness. You have to tell of what God did for you. You struggled and came and shared it small. And I want to confess that. Other than that, you are ashamed. How can they know about how bad I was? You even start amending it. You amend it left, right, and center. You change it. Change it. By the time you finish, we can't recognize who you're talking about. Because we don't know your past. Is there anyone who knew you before or who heard your original testimony? Now you were born St. Mary. You were born the righteousness of God. All things are passed away. But you are to proclaim the virtue of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are to proclaim it. You are to proclaim it, his virtue. I was lost, I am found. I was blind, I see. I was a captive, Jesus set me free. This is my story. Years ago, we asked people, write your testimony. And it's better done when it is fresh. And we began to put out testimonies online. I've told you, it's not everybody you can. See, you sit next to someone in the keke, you say, would you like to hear my testimony? You won't believe it. Let me send you the link. Give me your number. Send them the link. Do you know how many people want to reach out to you and say, excuse me, this thing you're saying, is it true? I remember years ago when we printed a small part of someone's testimony because we couldn't afford. So we just brought a tiny piece. One testimony may be 10 pieces or 14. We just pick up one piece of part 1, 2, 3, 4 to 14. We pick up one piece. And people looked at it on the way and said, See, it's a lie. It's a lie. No, nobody can open up like this. Nobody. Nobody can open up. It's a lie. Because people do not believe. And one reason so few people are led to Christ. And everybody goes around talking about, you know, well, me, I'm not a preacher. Who said you need to be a preacher to bring people to Jesus? You could bring people to Jesus every day if you would try. But you don't care. As long as Jesus sets you free, let the rest go to hell. You are supposed to tell what God has done for you. The Bible says that they told the man that was formerly the demoniac of the gatherings. He told him, go and tell your family and friends what great things God has done for you. Do you know we don't tell people enough what God has done? Even if you tell, you want to tell about money. Money stories do not make people follow Jesus. Tell people stories about freedom from captivity, from blindness, from bondage, from sin, from wickedness, from being an evil person. Get the story, own it, then tell it. Because human beings are meant to have hope from seeing others delivered. When they hear you say, they go, his story sounds worse than mine. If God could do it for him, he can do it for me. Please, do you think God could do this thing you said for me too? What did you do? But here, there is a whole generation. What do you think Paul meant when he said, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ? What's the good news? The good news is that he saved you. And good news must be combined with obedience. The worst thing that has happened to us is having a version of good news that does not involve your obeying. You're not to be ashamed. Why would he talk about shame? Because we get ashamed. We become proud. We become prideful. We start saying, well, everybody knows I'm a good person now. Everybody has to know. Nobody can know my past. So you have become ashamed of the good thing God did for you. If more people knew the pits God dragged you out from, so many more would say, drag me out too. But they don't know God dragged you out from a pit. They thought God, you were born on the bed of royal goodness. So they look and say, I can never be like you. You are born the righteousness of God. I can't be like them. Look at all of them, righteous and holy, perfect. I am the filthy one. I'm not worthy to be here. But if they could hear, if they could continually hear proclaimed the goodness of God, continually, not once in a while. That whole attitude of, oh, I used to tell my testimony, that was 4 years ago. But no, these days I just preach the word. That's a deception of Satan. You are called to proclaim the goodness and virtues of the one who called you out of darkness, called you out of darkness. You came out of darkness. Tell your story of your exit from darkness. It's not me, you. It's you that was called out of darkness. Identify your own journey. That is when you tell them about, oh, and then so and so, a person, my roommate, preached to me. And I remember as I came to a meeting for the first time, I heard this. And then I heard this. And then I heard this. Sometimes you say, oh, and then at the beginning, I went to this place, I learned this. But after a while, I discovered that this. So God now led me to this other place. It is while I was there, I still had bondage in this area. I was still in darkness in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God began to break that free. In the first year I came, 2018, this happened. Some month later, this other one happened. The journey out of darkness, the journey out of Egypt is what strikes people's hearts and makes them go, if God has done it for you, he surely can do it for me. And then they say, what should we do? They ask you and you say, come with me. They ask, they say, if I come there, do you think I too will be set free? And you say, absolutely. If he set me free, why won't he set you free? He doesn't love me more than you. But if you say, as lazy Christians say, it's okay, don't worry, God will help you. God will help you. Is that how God helped you? where you told God will help you and they walked away. You must be a helper. People refuse to help. Peter doesn't fall into the water. Help me, Lord, as he sank. And he says, God will help you. No, he grabs him and pulls him out. You must be a practical messenger of deliverance, of salvation, of help. Remember, we are not just speaking now of people that are not born again. We are speaking about people that are born again. They are in the majority. Prisoners. They are born again, but they are in captivity all around. All over our nation, all over your workplace, all over your school, wherever you find yourself, your neighborhood, people are in bondage all around. If all you did was walk around, tell stories, excuse me, hi, good afternoon. Please, can I tell you my story? No, I didn't come to ask for money. I want to tell you about my past. How many of you know people like hearing stories? And you said, what I'm about to tell you is 100% truth. Who has ever been told a story of a horrible past by someone, not in church meeting? Someone sat down, like, I want to confess, open up. Who has ever heard such a story? Were you fascinated? Did you stay and listen? Why don't we tell our story? Because we want to, the righteousness of Jesus, it's a terrible deception. So many more people would be saved if we told our darkness to light story. And we have to tell our darkness to light story. Whatever God has done for you, he wants to do it for others. If this is not like, okay, this is a good idea. No. Fix times. Fix. Be precise. Or tell God, show me whenever there's a chance to do it. And do it. Have the short version. Have the medium-sized version. Have the long version. The one-hour version. Have the 30-minute version. Have the 10-minute version. Have the 2-minute version. This keke will last for 2 minutes. This drop I'm taking. Say, hi, I'd like to tell you something quickly about myself. Ahead of time, on a piece of paper, I have your phone number. When I was 17, I had my first abortion. Start with something that first gives them an uppercut. Boom. You know? By the time I was 23, I'd had 3. During this time, I was a member of the choir. I was a this, the that, the that, the that. Just talk. It could be to anybody, an old man, an old woman, a young woman, a teenager, anybody. But something happened. Oh, you're dropping here. Okay, here's my number. I can tell you the rest on the phone. You just snagged someone who might be true. Now, it may not be for that man. We've had people do that when our people went out to preach. And they say, please wait. Let me call my daughter. People have done that. And they go and call their daughter and say, come, there's somebody I want to. The fields are ripe for harvest. The fields are ripe for harvest. The fields are ripe for harvest. You're wondering why you need to harvest them? Because that army we were praying about, please listen, there are 2 armies. Again, we have new people here. You've never heard this thing before. There are 2 armies. One is the kingdom of darkness's army. The head is Satan. One is the kingdom of light army. The head is Christ. These 2 armies are going to clash fantastically, like never before, at the end of the age. These 2 armies will clash. I know you don't believe it. The typical person cannot believe it. But you will be in one of those armies. And you say, no, I'm a child of God. I can never be in Satan's army. I can assure you, if you're not in the army of Jesus, almost 100% sure you will be in the army of Satan. No matter how you feel about that, it won't happen. It's because you have not seen what will play out. When it begins to play out, you must choose a side. You're hoping you can sit on the fence, but the secular went out long ago that the fence belongs to Satan. You didn't hear? The fence. So I'm sitting on the fence. The fence, now Satan get up. That's part of his side. So if you're on the fence, you're on his side. But I just want to be a citizen. You'll be a captive. And I've told you, even natural wars, they always kill more civilians. You can't, in a time when people are carrying weapons of darkness, unleashing mayhem, and you're weaponless, you don't know how to fight. You have not learned warfare. You have not sat at the feet of the Lord and learned his ways. You don't know when to deploy love, patience, kindness, long-suffering. Oh, you thought it is prayer. I bind you, I cast you down, I destroy you. That's only part of how we fight in the kingdom of light. Sometimes all you deploy is love. For real, a hug. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Forgive me. I'm sorry. That can accomplish more than 1 week of dry fasting. Before some of you like to be confused. I didn't say you should go around. Don't be confused. Don't confuse people. They won't know. They'll be asking, what's wrong with you? What is okay? You may have had a quarrel with this person and you've been trying to settle, arguing, trying to prove yourself right. And God tells you finally, come here. You finally say, God, what? Help me. You are the one that does not know this is a battle for your brother or your sister. You don't know it's a battle. But if you seek the Lord's face and he says, go and apologize for what you did. And you did it. God has given you a strategy to win this battle. What's the battle? Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, you have gained your brother. That was the battle. What was Satan's attack? To take away your brother from you. But you have gained him. That's the opposite of losing. You have gained. Again, you may not think this is a battle, but it's a serious battle. In the future, you may be meant to fight side by side with this person and take cities. If Satan can see the future, like he saw Jesus about when he was born, Moses about to be born, and he started killing babies. Satan sees things, so he comes ahead to destroy it. Have understanding. Warfare is not just about being on the battlefield shouting, No, that's not warfare. How many of you know there are battles that are ended before they begun? One effective spy. In your place, looked around, places 3 bombs at the base of your big guns and leaves. The place blows up and there's never any casualty. By the time your own soldiers land and storm that place, there's no resistance because he had destroyed their machine guns. Do you understand this? War and battle must not be. And what's the strategy for winning war? Obedience. Obedience is the strategy for winning all battles. Obedience to God. Now, another time, you think that the way to settle the issue with another brother or sister is to say, it's okay, forgive me. Did you ask God? The way to settle is to say, excuse me, please sit down. Let's address this matter. You have been saying this thing. You are wrong. You are utterly wrong. What you are saying is a falsehood and you can't keep saying it and things go out well. No. Let's call witnesses, please. 1, 2, 3, please come. This person said I said and has been saying I should apologize. Please, can you tell me what you know? And they say it. If you ever think, and we've fought battles for a while, believe me. If you ever come up with one method and say this is how to fight all battles, you will lose, the kingdom of God will lose big time for your lack of instructions. You don't stay here and make instructions. You call headquarters. You get instructions from the ranks. You receive counsel, then you know how to fight. You don't say, I remember last time how we fought it. We ran out shouting, shooting. That's how we overwhelmed them. That may not be the method this time. The method may be to run. God can never run. Jesus used to run. Who did you say you are again? Jesus won battles by running. and won battles by confronting. He won battles by keeping quiet and won battles by speaking. Go and read John chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Read it. Read Jesus. Study Jesus. And watch if he followed that your method. There are times the Bible says he escaped from their hands and hid himself away. And you have a theory that says a servant of God can never run away. You are getting ideas from your head. Why did he do certain things? His disciples told him, Master, he said, let's go out. But Lazarus is in short dead. Let's go and raise him. They said, Master, they were just trying to kill you and you're going out. He began to teach them. He said, you don't understand. There are 12 hours in a day. When you walk during the day, you can't stumble. You can't miss it. But night is coming when no one can walk. He explained to them how it was. Now, the people didn't understand that shortly before, when he was hiding away, that it was not time to walk. That the time had changed. That it was now time to walk. Is this clear? That is why you don't listen to God once. Again, this is how servants of God have made big mistakes. They said, I remember what God told me in 1979. Hey, Jesus, sir. You mean God has refused to talk to you since 1979, Lord God? These things I'm saying, I know I'm saying in a funny way, but it's very serious. This is how you have whole denominations in error. Whole denomination. Did I tell you about Apostolic Faith Church some days ago? Don't take medication. Don't take any medication. And then 2015. It's okay to take medication. We apologize. Because God was teaching people faith in him, trusting in his ability to heal. You know, took it and made it a law. Did he tell you to impose it? People will be kicked out of the church for taking medication. Faith Tabernacle is still like that. They'll be dying up and down. Then some, in the midst of that, that are still members of church, have gone behind to get herbs. Some evil treatment, juju treatment. See, you have pushed them into the hands of Satan. Now they are hypocrites and pretending. That error you are teaching, the church in Nigeria in the 50s, it split. In a major way, groups that were CAC. If you hear some of the history, you not believe some of the. You think you know why church, you think church groups just form. People just, if you know how many church groups form as a result of a quarrel. Now, that's not the proper way new groups should form. New groups should form because we sit here and I say, God said they should start. He needs someone to start a work in Eketo. And as we are praying, God has revealed you, brother, to four different people. So let's pray and wait on the Lord and ask him, Lord, is it? And God has confirmed it. Say, yes, I've always known. God spoke to me first in 2011. Very good. So get ready. Let's ask God about the timing. By next year, October. Now, depending on how much you know, there are people, the moment we say it, off they go. They go and resign from their job or leave their school and off they go to Eket. But if you are more educated in the ways of God, like God has helped some of us to learn, we will tell you, no, don't do like that. Pray. How many of you have seen men of God that, in quote, we obey God, but suffer a lot? Hunger and all that. Mm-hmm. So this is where knowledge is power. So this other one that knows that you're meant to ask God, you're meant to inquire, pauses and you inquire, and God speaks by this time next year. Now, in your human mind, this is the beauty of having been taught at the feet of scriptures. You would presume, how can it be next year, October, and God is saying it now? You have not met God. That's exactly how God operates. He's so coordinated, he can give you a whole year to get ready. Don't you think it's a wonderful thing to have 1 year to get ready? But your understanding is that, no, I read in the Bible that the very night he spoke to Joseph, he got up and ran with Mary. Did he tell you, stand up now and run? No, no, but I know what God said to me. I know what God said to me. And this is where you have sometimes, you know, church members who in their mind, they say, yes, I appreciate what God says through this servant of God, but as I am here, so. When God speaks to someone, it's private. It's private. You have a lot of scars in this life. Because you think you know something the man of God doesn't. Now, are there men of God that don't know? Yes. Are there many servants of God that will try to control things to their benefit? Yes. You should have spent the time with whichever servant of God you are with to learn and understand a bit of their weaknesses. Don't just know it in your head. Ask them. Talk about it. Talk to God. And be clear, is it a weakness or is it the will of God? Is it something he knows that I don't know? There are those who think they know. Then there are those, they are servants of God who, like I said, they've only learned parts. There's parts they don't know. So you hear people say things like, God can never pass me to come and speak to you. Who has heard these things? Did God pass Eli, the high priest, and speak to Samuel? Huh? So what's that? Now the truth is, God had already spoken to Eli, the high priest, earlier on. How many of you have heard the oil flows from the head? Which interpreted in plain Nigerian language means God can never speak to you to come and speak to me. It's me that will speak to you. How many of you know that's not true? Oh, you don't know. In spite of I gave you Samuel and Eli, I should give you more. God constantly can speak to someone that rather what the person above who was not spoken to should take note of is that they should go and ask God, is it true? Did God speak to Mary before she spoke to Joseph? Huh? Who is the head in that family? So why did God speak to Mary first and then Joseph had to get confirmation after he wanted to put away the woman? Because you can't tell God what to do that much. You can request nicely, but don't act like, no, God would never do this. All this talk about never. God can never. God can never speak to you through a stranger. God can never speak to you through a subordinate. Question, define subordinate. Who is your subordinate? In what? If God can speak through little children, Jeremiah may have been about 12, 13 years old. He was from a family of priests. God skipped all of them and spoke to the small boy who immediately said, I'm a youth, I'm a child, I can't speak. John the Baptist. I could go on. Just understand this. God can do anything he wants. There are two armies. There's battles to be fought. God will raise people and use them from either side. You must decide to allow. If you don't listen to truth, you'll be on the side of error. Those church groups went into error because they held on to some revelation they thought they had. To the detriment of the other revelation. That's like having a finger and not having tools. That's like having an ear, not having lips. You come out deformed. Every time the body of Christ holds on to certain things and throws away the other part. Okay, because you discover that God would like to provide for you, that you don't have to be poor and wretched. That means you should build a whole denomination on making money. Saying God said you should be rich. Are you real? I agree. You have heard me when I'm preaching talk about the spirit of poverty. And people have it. They can have a job where they pay them $350,000 every month and they are poor. At the same time. The spirit of poverty. That's a demonic spirit. Then there are people, and I did that 2 weeks ago or so, when I was speaking about how to save. Is it last week? How to use money properly. How to be frugal with what you have. How not to be wasteful. That you can be richer as a poor person. You can be a richer poor person. And I told you, what's the definition of poverty? Do you have food to eat and clothes to wear? You're not poor. Then I also told you that some of you, while you're poor, it's because you're wearing your food. You're wearing your food. The money God gave you to eat with, you bought clothes. You're not even poor, you're just confused. You bought a 13,000 naira dress. How many? That's 2 weeks of eating. Or so. You bought a dress with it. Why did you buy it? One of our class members is wedding. You better eat well when you go for that occasion. Better eat well. Carry extra. Find someone and beg. Can I put this in your freezer? Don't be warming it. Silly child. And you have people doing this everywhere. Say, no, I just closed my eyes and brought out money and bought it. Any normal human being that can close their eyes while walking, what do I need to say about them? You cannot be closing your eyes. Close your eyes and do it. Anything that involves closing your eyes to do is not good. Open your eyes now. Open your eyes. And God will help you. Only close your eyes when you're looking onto Jesus. Other than that, keep your eyes open. How much do you say this thing is? It's okay, don't worry. You entered the shop, you were sincere. You wanted, well, for once, let me just... You thought the price is 3,000, at most 4. They started with, this one is 32. Why are you still standing there? What are you standing there? Why are you holding it in your hand, checking? Why are you checking? You didn't hear what they said? Something that immediately say, oh, sorry, wrong shop. Then you go at once. Off you go at once. You don't detail. You start saying, well, I just say maybe, well, you never know. You know what God cannot do does not exist. It's true. When hunger grabs you, that God can make you hungry does not exist. He can. What God cannot do, including beating a foolish child. Don't leave the place. So these are the ways. I believe in having sufficiency in all things. Is that in the Bible? Yes, in all sufficiency in all things. And there are conditions to attain that. Amongst that includes generosity. The scripture says so. Generosity. 2 Corinthians tells you, it gives you a list of things that will help you abound. He says, giving to the poor, causing your gifts, giving gifts to the poor, giving, supporting those who support. So let's say you're in a place where the poor are supported, a proper ministry like ours, and then we are constantly assisting the poor. Then you say, I'll make sure I don't just give normal offering. I'll be giving a lot because this, so it's in the Bible, these apostles, good stewards. So they would give to them and they would give to whoever had need. That was the Bible method. It's not very popular now. And then you come across such a place and you say, I've given my offering. No, but anytime they announce, anytime they say there's a need in church, I always respond. Don't be ridiculous. You're not very wise. If you have, the Bible says, know those who labor amongst you. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. That's why you should know them. That's why you should know where you are and who. You understand? You should know. All that stuff about not knowing. Well, it's not your duty to know about a man of God. It's not your duty. Who has heard that one too? How many of you know there's all sorts of upside down wisdom? The exact opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says you should know those who labor amongst you. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, Timothy, you have known my way of life. Give me this passage you just put up. Read with me 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Have you seen that? acknowledge them. And it tells you the kind, the ones who are diligent, not the ones that are not diligent. There are leaders that are not diligent, just doing anything that goes, just shouting, "I'm your leader, I'm your leader." And they don't care for you diligently. I remember years ago, I had to point out to our people, say, because the leaders here are act like normal brethren, but they have given you more attention in 1 month than all the attention you received in your whole life since you went to church, since you were born. In 1 month, they have sat down with you for more hours, listening to you, talking to you, paying attention. How many hours did you spend? For the majority of people, when did you sit down with a pastoral staff and they listen to you for hours? You have their number. You could send them messages up and down. They ask you for nothing. Zero pressure ever. They don't ever ask you for even anything. They are giving you. Because there's something funny that happens in the human head. The Bible didn't say acknowledge those that have the title pastor and command presence and speak gruffly. "Hello, how are you? How are you, young lady? Hello." It didn't say acknowledge those that appear authoritative. Are you listening to me? It didn't say acknowledge those who command presence. Who has heard messages that sound like that? You can walk in the power of God, you command authority and people will just, the wealth of the nations will flow to you. Who has heard these sounds? You see, these are the kinds of things in the body of Christ that make me look and keep wondering, why won't you read your Bible? The Bible tells you who to acknowledge. And none of it involves height, education, authority, even power. Who did he say you should acknowledge? Those who do what? Brethren, acknowledge.
Work with diligently among you.
How do you know who to acknowledge? Are they walking? Are they walking in your midst? Are they doing it diligently? That's all. You don't know what it means to acknowledge someone? Accord them the regard that is theirs. And that's not just word of mouth. "Oh, this is the person who helped me. Oh, this is my pastor. Oh, this is my shepherd. Oh, this is my disciple." You acknowledge not just in words, in your giving. Is that in the Bible? It's in the scriptures. It says, "Let him who is taught share with him that teaches him, instructs him in all good things." It says it directly. But in the minds, and this is true. The basket is coming, the offering basket. That's 200 there. You have 500. Give me change. That, give me, I'll give later on. You give me the change. "I know his name. I know his name. His name is wonderful. I know his name. I know his name. Do you know his name? His name is Counselor. I know his name." Preacher X is here. Woo! Woo! "Yes, God, Jesus, touch me. Touch me. Touch me." How long is he spending in town? Just today. "Oh, tomorrow morning session. Hey, yeah, I'll be at work." It's okay, God, please. Let all my... We are passing the offering basket. Jesus. God, it's my seat. Do you have envelope? Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. You see, that thing I talked about, that thing that eats people's brain, has eaten your spiritual brain. So why did you give a big offering to someone you don't know? He doesn't labor among you. He has come, he will go. Why should you give an offering? You should give an offering because he's carrying the gospel around. Praise God. He's an evangelist. Does he have a support base? I believe so. Should you still support more? Yes. Even the people that hosted him, did they use fuel? Yes. How much did the fuel cost? I don't know. 50,000? Okay. So should I support that they gave me a seat to sit and all that? Yes. So should I give? Yes. Now I'm pretending there was zero pressure for money. People were really blessed. So they gave. This is the one time I'm seeing him. I can give him something. Reasonable. If it gets to him, it might just get to the host minister. And that's it. But what is that thing in you that looks for change? When you're in the midst of those who labor diligently among you, that thing is the maggot I'm referring to. It's linked to your love for money. Teaching is in your head somewhere that when you can give money, it's going to create. Now, God can tell you to give exceptionally to anybody, anywhere. Obey God always. Are you hearing me? But I'm saying the mindset that gives according to the size of the name. The scripture did not say acknowledge those with great names among you. It's clear. He tells you who to acknowledge. Who is the one laboring diligently among you? That is the one you're to acknowledge. He went on to explain, in case you don't understand, who preside over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Who stands and says, now listen, part one, number two. So what you have done is you have acknowledged the one who does not labor among you, who is passing through. You have acknowledged that one. You have acknowledged someone that does not preside over you and does not give you instruction. So you've done everything opposite to the word of the Lord. If you were the Lord, how would you handle this? And in your mind, you'll be thinking, ah, God knows that. It's because you have drunk false doctrine somewhere. You've heard, let me tell you the kind of stories they tell. I traveled, or I had the privilege of sitting under When the meeting went on, I emptied my account and sold it. Bia, let's visit the scripture. Come. What did this place we just read say? Did you see how it stressed that the people are working diligently? Do you know one meeting, three meetings cannot amount to diligent? Do you know what the word diligent means? Step by step, level by level, carefully. The very concept. Now, for the person who is slightly confused, do you realize that the book, 1 Thessalonians, was written by Paul? Do you realize Paul was a traveling apostle moving around preaching? Do you realize here that he's talking about the leadership in the church in Thessalonica and that does not include him? Oh, your brain is struggling. The passage, what Paul is saying here, he's clear. He said, acknowledge those who walk diligently among you. Paul is not speaking of himself. He's speaking about the church leadership in Thessalonica and is instructing them that they should regard and care for and provide for those who are serving and presiding over them. Paul was not presiding over them, at least not directly. He was a father in the spirit to that church. He had helped establish that church, and definitely they should support him. And I believe they did. The Philippians did, and others they would send. But if it goes with how I understand how the church operated, it is from the giving. It's like a local assembly like this. You give here. We, as a church, as a leadership, sometimes I tell the whole church, sometimes we don't. Then we can quietly support different things. Apart from supporting the need in the house, we can support needs outside the house, directly and indirectly. mission efforts, things concerning the kingdom being extended in other states. Sometimes it can be in other countries. That's happening. We don't really have a method here, at least here. We should, but we don't. Because I don't talk about money almost at all. You know, where we make it more public. Hey, everybody, we are doing this. Hey, every time we are doing something, we don't tell. It's rare that we tell. That we have done this, we have done this, we have done this. And when we do tell, people express support. And every time I realize, so what about the 100 times I didn't tell? If I told, would they have? My attitude is that, well, if they are giving generously already from what they have, that's enough. Take out of that and do this thing. The truth is, if you told, they would give more. But for those who do not love to torment God's children, you don't like telling people things. You don't want them to feel burdened. My attitude is that give generously. That's how wise people give. And that's enough. If it's extra need, then we may tell. If we remember. These are the scriptures. What's the scripture in 2 Timothy 3? He said, you have known, you have observed, in verse 10. Timothy was talking to, have observed my teaching. What should you observe about servants of God? I've done a teaching on this. Find it and listen to it. Observe what they teach. Do you understand to observe does not mean just swallow? You don't know what observe means? It means to pay attention and practice. He said, you've observed my teaching. You've observed my conduct. You've observed my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance. Once in a while, I speak with someone and I realize they have not been observing me. They are still running on how they were. You listen to someone, you're talking to someone, and I'm amazed. I'm in pain. Like, wow, so you just listen to some of the things. You didn't learn anything about my patience, though. You didn't watch how I love. So you still don't know how to love. You don't care. You don't care about loving. You're supposed to learn how to love. You're going to go and shout and be angry with her. When someone did that same thing to me 4 times and you saw, is that how I reacted? Answer is no. You saw me keep quiet. You saw me go, mm. You saw me. Later, when you ask me something, I say, it's okay, maybe I'll talk about it tomorrow or next week as God gives me grace. But if I talk now, it will lead to, you know, it's not something that is, there's no urgency about it. It's not good to speak in anger. You saw all of that inside your mind. You went like, that's your own. That's your own. Man, I can never take it. Can never take it. So you didn't observe my love, my patience. You didn't learn from it. You know. That's not how to learn from someone. Except the person is wrong. Now, you don't learn bad things. Are you hearing me? You don't learn bad things. When someone does what is not good, don't learn from them. Don't learn error. Learn what is good. So your pastor, those who preside over you may have areas where they are wrong. Their teaching may be wrong. Don't copy them. They may lack patience. Always get into one problem. You can observe it. Say, I remember my pastor. Every time. When they just bring out one thing, he'll go and invest inside. That man lost money. Not less than 7 different ventures. He lost money. You see, you cannot learn patience from him. Are you hearing me? He does not have it. You can observe. You observe his conduct. You observe his attitude towards money. You heard him say, come. So the meeting you went for, did they give offering? You didn't raise offering. Come here. You have to be raising offering. Why you not raise offering? You know, you should be asking when to move. Or you're going to be corrupted with the practice. Paul could proudly say, you've observed me, my teachings and my conduct and my patience, my love. You've seen me endure. You've seen me overlook. You've seen me endure slight. You've seen, learn from me. This is why he said of Timothy, there is only Timothy that was truly like a son to him. That other people were not like that. You see, people act like if you listen to a preacher, that means you are like him. You're not. Till you're observing what they, if they are a good example, copy them. If they are not, if they depart from scripture in some area, make sure you don't just presume they have departed from scripture. You know, you can presume in your head and you're wrong. They may be scriptural. Your belief may be that whenever someone preaches, he should always be gentle, composed, like Derek Prince, or maybe like Pastor Kumuyi. If someone offends you, forgive him. It is the will of the Father not to bear grudges. So you may believe preachers should not move. They should stand in one place. There are prince wouldn't move more than this. Then if he's agitated, that's it. If he's casting out demons, the same thing. Every spirit, he may wag his finger. Every spirit. I know why I'm saying cast out demons, because you're going to think, okay, no, he's a teacher. Was a teacher, he cast out demons everywhere. He prayed for healing. People's legs will grow out. Short legs will grow out like this. As calm as he was. So it's not about the packaging. Do you get? Some people will somersault. Believe me. Angels, the angels are always like, hold him, hold him, hold him. He said, you have known these things, my persecutions and the sufferings that came upon me. You're supposed to know the people you follow. You're not supposed not to care about it. You're not supposed to say no. No, it doesn't matter. All I'm interested in what is in what they teach. Don't be ridiculous. That you sound intelligent, but you're not. You just saw a list of things you should observe. You don't care. You can't observe. You pick one. Say it's just his teaching. Then you heard a story about him. Seven girls have come out to say he had an affair with them. You say, I don't care. You see, the Bible you hold upside down. No, you're to observe his conduct. Oh God, go back now. Okay, this is it. You see, as you're looking at me, you're saying, well, Pastor, well, I think that is your take. On Judgment Day, this book will be used to judge you. This book. You're to observe his conduct. I heard he was involved in this scandal. They caught him here telling lies. They found out that the prophecies he gave was fake. Not because they didn't come to pass. But he copied them from some book they found. He copied. His conduct is not straight. They've caught him. He's caught up in some scandal involving money laundering. Something wrong. You say, I don't care. I don't care about any of that. What Jesus called us to was to be. You see, you look intelligent, and we thought you were. Till we discover you don't care what the Bible says. You are to observe his conduct. You are to observe his purpose. Always ask yourself when you watch and follow a servant of God, read their books, whatever. Say, what's the purpose of these things he's teaching? Have you noticed everything tilts towards that Christians should be rich, should be leaders on this earth? You have refused to observe his purpose. Always ask yourself, this push, this Pastor Itana, that is pushing us since morning or afternoon, whenever he started preaching. Where is he pushing us to? What's his purpose? I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. Think of some of the preachers. Some of you had a favorite preacher before now. What is their purpose? How you know their purpose? In which direction were they usually pushing? That's how you know purpose. If they are heading towards the exit, their purpose is to remove you from the room. If they are pushing you towards the high seat, their purpose is to place you on a throne. If they are pushing you towards righteousness and holiness, their purpose is to make you righteous and holy. If they are pushing you towards the best job, the best car, the soonest spouse, their purpose is shown in what direction they push you. Have you understood this thing? So you must observe the purpose of the preachers that you follow. After today, your excuse of ignorance is lost. You cannot say, I didn't know. Who has heard people say, it doesn't matter, just go, it's just their teaching, just follow their teaching. See, God has not called you, God has called you to, you just learn what. Did you read this place when you took that and spread and used to tell other people? Don't spread error because it sounds intelligent. Go to school with your Bible, a pen and a notebook. As you're about to read, say, Father, teach me. Give me understanding. Take notes. You will stand up educated by the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to teach you all things, not some things. The Holy Spirit is not to teach you some things. Then Pastor Ita teaches you some. You didn't hear me. The Holy Spirit shouldn't teach you some things, but I learned these other things from Bishop something. No, the Holy Spirit is to teach you all things. He said he would teach you all things. So the moment Bishop, Pastor, anybody, anything, is teaching you error, things that are contrary to what the Spirit of Truth has revealed in the Holy Scriptures, drop what he says. Except it's an interpretational error. Have you heard me? There's something like missing the interpretation. You may be missing it. You may be missing it. That man of God may be right. But if you check it and check it and check it and you see multiple scriptures confirming that that servant of God is in error, that he's just saying what is conducive for him, conducive to his kind of ministry, and is far more common than you know. You should travel, you should support traveling ministry. You should support ministries that come and go. In this day and time, however, if you know, at least in the Nigerian church, you know many church groups, many, the bigger church groups, you know already, don't be a child forever. You know already that when they invited that preacher to come, that it doesn't matter what you do, whether you give 1 naira or not, that preacher will live with millions. You went and said, well, you know I had to. Who are you deceiving? Then your small church with your pastor, membership of 80 people, you always give peanuts. You have ignored the instruction of the Lord and gone with a snippet you watch online on YouTube where someone told stories about giving big money and then the heavens opened over them. So you mean God has changed his mind? Say, I know I said before you should acknowledge those who lead you. But I've now looked at it. They are not very good vessels for release into bountifulness. So I'm changing the policy. From now on, I want you to sow into, what's that phrase? Into anointings. It's anointing. I've got an anointing that releases. An anointing that raises you higher. So did the Lord not know of this anointing when he told you that you should share what you have with those who teach you and preside over you? Did he not know? Never go with what your ears and eyes see and hear because of the presence or courage of the person. You will disobey God. You will miscarry the purposes of God. And some people do it all their life. And they wonder, God, why are things how they are with me? I have done this. I have sown seed. Because you've sown in all the wrong ground. 20-something years ago, I heard a preacher say that you should sow into fruitful soil. Feta is long since I heard it, like 1998. That's long now. 25 years ago. Sow into fertile soil. And fertile soil just meant a big preacher. Is this still being preached? This was 25 years ago. Fertile soil. What makes it fertile? God said where you should sow to. You came up with a new method. If God told you in this meeting you're standing now, He speaks to you, leads you, I want you to give this offering. Very significant. Do exactly what God says. If you are doing it because you believe God will touch you through that servant of God's ministry because you gave big money, you are not serious. So you're buying the favor of God. If that person has a healing gift, you can't act like you have to pay for it. Give normal giving and say, God, touch me. In fact, that is why you barely get anything from your pastor. Because you give with an attitude of, see, I'm just giving so I can contribute towards one bob being on during a church meeting. Other than that, I wouldn't even give in this place. And you're wondering why God can't seem to touch you there or heal you there. He's not healing you because you have no expectation of Christ through the one who presides over you. And I'm speaking about churches everywhere. I'm not speaking about congregation necessarily. I mean, many of them have faith and have trusted the Lord to meet their needs, physical, spiritual, and otherwise here. And He has been kind, very kind to us. So I'm speaking to whoever is hearing me, wherever you're hearing, you carry this mindset. Drop it. Exchange this mindset. Pick a proper mindset. Always get your mindsets from the Word of God, the pure Word. How many questions do I have? Who has a question and you didn't write it in? Let me see. You have a question about something I said, you didn't write it in. If Egypt represents the world, why did Jesus have to be sent to Egypt with His family? As a picture of, the Bible tells you that the scriptures has to be fulfilled. That says, out of Egypt I've called my son. So He had to go there so He could call him out. Jesus is a picture of the body of Christ. And all of you were in the world before Jesus saved you. You are the body of Christ. All right? So that's the reason. Jesus is a picture of many. The things in the Bible are, they testify of Jesus. So He has to fulfill what was written concerning Him. According to the volume of the book, it is written concerning Him. All sorts of things. That He's the Lamb of God. That He's the one who was lifted on the cross. The serpent that was lifted. And whoever looks at Him will be saved. That He's the one who was Jonah 3 days and 3 days after. So this is what the Lord Jesus is. He's a picture of all these things. And this is one of the pictures of those who emerged from Egypt. The Son of God emerged from Egypt. Yes. You said power is for showing mercy. Could you prove this from the scriptures? Did I not prove it from the scripture? Every time someone was healed, that was mercy they enjoyed. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And what happened? Blind Bartimaeus gets healed. The power of God is used to show mercy. That's a major reason for the power of God. Even financial power is for showing mercy. I was just talking about money now. The correct thing to do with money, and I don't know if I told you how to have money, the principle of God. I say it's God. Obey God. What does God say you should do? He said you should be faithful. So be faithful wherever you are. What else does God say you should do? He said you should not be lazy. So be hardworking. What else does God say you should do? He said you should not fail to work. That he that does not work should not eat. So work. Always look for a job. Don't depend on people and enjoy it. What else does God say you should do? God says you should give. He says there's the one in Proverbs who holds back and tends to lack. There's the one that gives generously and tends to increase. So God, these are all things about mercy. These are principles of making money. I'm telling you, I want to abound. But in spite of it, after you have abounded, he will say, Ephesians 4, he said, he that stole, don't steal anymore. Walk with your hand that which is good, that you might have to give to him who has need. There are those who have need. Walk and give to them. God does not want you lazy. Now, here you are, lazy. You don't want to work because you cannot do that kind of job. All sorts of things you do. All sorts of disregard for the word of God. And then you say, I'm looking for principles of wealth. You've ignored all the direct, clear principles.